Welcome to the Corey and Kai Podcast, presented by Cedar Run Decoy Company. Built on honoring traditions and focused on conservation, you can find us at cedarrundecoys.com, Facebook, and Instagram. Be sure to rate us and subscribe to the Corey and Kai Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or any other podcast platform you listen through.
All tall people in here, right? So it's like all these mics will have to be adjusted back down in the next podcast.
How do the headphones sound for you guys? Is it too loud?
It's good for me.
That good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm great.
Well,
so I don't know if we talked about this last time, but Kai's got a, you got a running list at home, right?
Like, oh my gosh. It's over $2,000 now.
So we had
Ford.
Ford was in here a few podcasts ago, and I was in the middle of the podcast. All of a sudden, my headphones shut down.
Oh, no.
I was like, why can't I hear anything? I'm like looking over there. I'm like, I don't get it. Well, Ford was under the under the table, just mowing on
the. Is that the dog?
Yeah.
The puppy?
Yeah.
The puppy you got?
Yeah. From
who's probably big now, 60 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's probably 60 pounds and chewing everything in sight.
Who's all his teeth in? All his teeth are in there.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to make sure you buy him more stuff and
I know.
Protect your own stuff.
It's crazy.
Is he eating underwear or anything yet?
No.
That's my dog.
Yeah, that's your dog.
Yeah, that's my dog. It's like,
no, but
he doesn't chew on stuff, but he swallows socks.
After they're worn.
Yeah.
They have to have the body odor on them, just like the dick.
Like, is there a reason? This is him and that's a brand new runner that we just bought.
Oh, yeah.
And he just.
Maybe he's not going to be that free.
Yeah.
Is so the body odor thing. So like he doesn't chew on my socks. He never picks my socks.
He on everybody else's socks.
He doesn't chew. He just puts them in his mouth. Like my wife and my daughter's socks. You know,
yeah,
is it?
There may be, they may use lotion and things like
okay.
that. Yeah. I mean, he can smell everything you can't.
Right.
No, I mean, you know, I had this dog, Bandit, and he was always kind of fun. I took him to work every day. Well, they put a Don Pablo's in, and when he got old, he'd sleep on the way home because work was hard, just like it is for me now. You know, it's like, I can't sleep because I'm driving. But nonetheless, he'd sleep on the way home, and we'd pull up at the stoplight with Don Pablo's, and the Don Pablo's smell would come in the car. He'd get up, look around, see what the hell there was to eat, and realize it's just Don Pablo's, then go back to sleeping. So, I mean, I could hardly smell Don Pablo's. But
he probably had it one time, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if he ever had it.
No.
But I mean, in fact, he figured I was probably the dumbest son of a bitch in town because
I know where that Don Pablo's was too, is right down by the off Beckley.
Yeah, Beckley, yeah. And we'd go into McDonald's and I'd put a little money through the door and I'd get all this stuff back. And I put a lot of money in the bank and all I got was a piece of paper back. So, I mean, he's boy, this guy.
That's got to be confusing.
He's not long for this world. Yeah, that's got to be confusing for a dog. It's like, really? All that money? He used to get it back and sit on the top of the vet body when we'd eat at Finley's. You know where Finley's is in Columbia?
Yeah, yeah.
So we'd pull in there, and instead of going to the back, we'd park in the front, and we'd leave the pass-through door open, and he'd come out on the vet body and sit. And
watch
us go in and have lunch. And you know, the things were all lined up there?
Yeah.
Everybody's watching that dog eat. You know, nobody's talking. They're just watching the dog on the back of this vet body. And they're like, and everybody's kind of talking about it. I hope he doesn't jump off. Well, he doesn't jump off.
What breed?
It's just a mixed breed dog. Yeah, that somebody brought in, had two broken legs, so we fixed his broken legs. The guy never showed up to pick him up, so I kept him. He didn't like my wife, so that endeared him even more to me. You know. Hey, it's 2-on-1, man.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yep. He was just a lot of fun. I'd take him drinking on Friday nights. Are we recording this?
Yeah,
right?
Keep it going. Okay. You already started the story.
We went to the Barking Frog one time, you know, and down there in Augusta, and he'd be in that truck standing with his front feet on the dash, you know, and you're looking in there, and they said there were some girls in there, and they said, well, just bring him in. I said, no, I'm not bringing him in. I said, you know, the health department has. This is back when you didn't have service dogs you could take into restaurants and stuff. I said, don't bring him in. And of course, what they do, they grabbed my keys and went out there and let him out of the truck, and he came waltzing in that restaurant. He took one look at me and then went in the kitchen. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You can't do that. You can't take him in the kitchen, man. You can't do that. You know, we had to put him back in a car, and he'd sit there and watch us finish the night off. But he didn't really care about seeing me. He wanted to be with everybody, but mostly he wanted to be in that kitchen.
He's a dog that necessarily isn't attached to your hip, but wants to be doing what you're doing.
We used to do that with him. We took him to work every day, and he'd go up the stairs, and he could lay on that stair up there in that A-frame and kind of look down the hallway. So he'd see you coming, going. And if I showed it to you, you'd recognize it. But anyway, we'd say, well, I think we're going to get to be 11:45. So, well, I think we're going to go have lunch. He'd run to the back door. I said, no, I think we're going to look at another patient. And he'd run back up front. He'd say, no, I don't think we got time for another patient. And he'd run to the back door. Dr. Ellis and I frogged around with him, And the ladies at work for us, you're so mean to that dog. Yeah. I said, oh no,
that's stimulating for his mind.
That poor dog drew the old maid to live with, and he couldn't get rid of the card. And
we had a dog, like we talk about we have a blue tick, but we had a blue tick prior to this one. And they're two exact opposite dogs. One was really intelligent and the one we have now is unintelligent, right? In human terms.
Well, maybe he's a lot smarter than you think he is.
That's what my wife keeps saying, but it's been 5 years, and I'm like, prove it, right? Like, you're gonna have to prove it to me. But they're just so different. Like, it's a same breed, even look very similar, but opposite personalities. One is kind of like the dog you were describing. Like, you could just play with this dog, and he was smart enough to, like, try and figure you out. The dog we have now is just, I mean, he's not super sociable, right? He doesn't like to be petted. He's kind of in his own world. I prefer the dog that you can play around with, right? That you can mess with. You think they're smart enough to kind of fool with them a little bit.
Well, when I had Bandit, that's the dog we're talking about with the broken legs. He'd be in a cage because we were waiting for the owner to come back and pay his bill and collect him, and he never did. And Bandit would come up to the front of the cage and. You know, a lot of dogs just come to the front of the cage and look at you. He'd come up the front of the cage and look at you and then turn his whole body on the side so you could inspect the whole dog. You know, it was kind of like a runway show of some sort, you know. And I always liked that in a dog. Those kind of dogs that want to show you their whole body, I don't know what there is about them, but that appeals to me.
Okay.
The fact that they're trying to please you or trying to show you what their entire body looks like and stuff. And I've seen dogs like that. You don't see a lot of them, but when you get one like that, they're real enamored with being with you.
Okay.
And I liked that part of that dog. He was a cool dog. And I could have skipped my last year of veterinary school if I'd have had him earlier because he had flea allergies and he got pancreatitis. He ruptured a disc in his back, you know.
Yeah, good thing you're a vet.
Yeah. I said, well, I'm just going to stay home for my last term and deal with this dog because he was an education in all of himself, you know. But he was a really cool dog. And that was my first dog as a being my dog, not a family dog. Yeah, and I felt really bad when he left this earth. Mm-hmm. And of all the people to take me out for lunch afterward, afterwards my dad did, and I thought he didn't get it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But he got it. He understood the whole thing.
Yeah.
We went out to lunch and we talked about it, and it was really poignant. You know that.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah,
that.
You're like, you go through your life and you're like, he's not caring about the struggle I'm going through or like the hurt in this. And then he shows up and does something like that.
He shows up and does
like,
it.
Oh,
and he does a better job than everybody else did.
Right.
They always want to know what happened to him. Yeah. You know, not that, I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it. You know, and I mean, it was a long time before I could really talk to people about it, which makes it easier for me to understand people who have their pets euthanized and stuff.
Because you feel the same way. I've always thought about that. And maybe before we get too far into it, is like we should introduce who we've got here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So we got Dr. Pete. He's been on the podcast before.
Sure.
We're doing a follow-up one because there's some cool things going on with Voyager dog food, and we've got more questions.
Mm.
Right? Like,
yes.
Out of the previous podcast, I've got a bunch more questions. After that, I was like, I should ask this and this.
Right.
You should ask whatever you want to ask.
Okay.
And that's That's the beauty of these things in the first place. I had my own radio show for a while, and people call and ask questions, and then I go out to dinner, we'd be at dinner, and people come over the table and says, I've always wanted to ask you this question, but I just don't have the guts to call you on the phone and listen to my own voice and stuff. And I said, because really, lots of times I tease people a little bit when they called in. It's not my time, you know. I get to frog around with them a little bit, and it was always that. I tried to make it fun for them. I really tried to make it fun for me, and then if it was fun for the both of us, it was good.
Yeah, and I think a podcast is set up nice, and we'll talk more about that too. So we got Dr. Pete here and his daughter Molly.
Hello.
But we'll talk more about that. Podcast is set up really, really well for somebody to ask those questions without having to feel like they're going to be embarrassed because of their voice or stumble on their words.
Well, my problem always was they had a 7-second delay on me, so people wanted to listen to themselves on there.
Oh, right.
And they talk into the phone, and they didn't hear their voice come out. It's like, what? Am I on? Or, you know, and then they start getting feedback and everything, and you know how that works. So, every once in a while somebody said something off color. And fortunately, it wasn't me very often. But the callers would call in and say something kind of sketchy.
Another good thing about podcasts, sketchy, right? Like, you can just be like, we don't want that. Yeah.
Well, Control-Alt-Delete that one.
This whole thing will get edited for sure.
Right. Yeah, that's just the thing. We don't do that. So we're basically like we're running live anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, there's been a couple podcasts we've had to edit, and those people know who they are.
They're well aware. Yeah, we tell them, it's like, you just cost us like 5 hours of our time. Well, should have spent 15 minutes.
If you pulled a lawnmower in here and I tried to get the blades off the bottom of with a breaker bar, you'd have to edit that whole thing. Yeah. Because, because I learned that from my dad. If I really swore hard when I was... You know, either need a bigger breaker bar or you need to curse.
Yeah.
And my dad taught me you didn't need a bigger breaker bar. You just cursed it. And all of a sudden, a little bolt came right off.
You should hear him change a light bulb.
Yeah, no, that's bad too. Yeah.
Just a light bulb.
Yeah. Well, you have to live at my house.
It's all complex.
We don't have regular light bulbs like everybody else do. We have things where you need a...
you could be on an extension ladder.
Well, not so much the ladder. It's the way the fixture is. You know, you got to be able to get in the fixture without dropping it and breaking it and all that sort of stuff.
Got to get your hand like...
Oh,
I know. Yep. Well aware.
I'm like, hey, honey, what do you just say we maybe adopt an 8-year-old and they can they can switch the bulbs off for us? Well, that is the thing. You got those little recessed things.
Yeah,
you
that's
gotta, just call
you're,
me.
You're a fan of recessed lighting.
Oh yeah, I love recessed lighting. Yeah.
Well, we got the things with the big
globes and
the globe on it and everything, and then something's not quite right about the globe. Whoever made that was not user friendly to person.
So we're gonna try and cover a lot in a relatively short amount of time. So we got questions for the vet. We got, we'll talk to Molly about, you know, some of the trade shows they're going to and kind of what that looks like moving forward. So if people want to try and connect with you guys at trade shows, obviously the big ones, the Voyager brand that's been launched now.
Sure.
And then some of the things that Voyager might be doing coming down the pipeline, some of the new stuff. So, why don't we kind of dive into, because I'm going to encourage people to go back and listen to the podcast.
The first one,
you know, you'll get some of the background of you guys and what the brand, where the brand came from, you know, the inspiration behind it. So go back and listen to that, but we'll kind of cover how you came to the Voyager brand and what that entails. So let's start with that. If you go to the website, which I've visited
episode 22.
Episode 22.
Yes.
Okay. It's a fun one too. So you want to check that out. So you go to the website, which used to be Scoop.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And we'll kind of stop referring to it as Scoop from this point on, but.
Well, we can tell the story. The Scoop was like we would give you the straight scoop on what you should feed your dog, you know, and that was always kind of our thing that's always been, that's really what the veterinary clinic was predicated on, selling people information. You get the scoop. Mm-hmm. This is a scoop on this, is a scoop on that. And then obviously we incorporated a dog food scoop into it. Mm-hmm. So there was two kinds of scoops.
Right.
And that's how we got started on it. And we started in the dog food business because we had a scientific reason we should do that. You know, there was some data and some science behind what we were doing. So we weren't just trying to give Blue Buffalo a run for the money or Taste of the Wild or any of those things. We were just trying to, honestly, just trying to make something that I could feed our family's dogs that was safe. In fact, that's our that's one of our URLs is safedogfood.com. And don't even ask me why that was available because I would have thought that would have been taken 20 years
right,
ago.
Right.
But apparently safedogfood.com because yeah. apparently that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I would think it's a big deal for everybody but
right.
the people yeah. who maybe make the food. And so that's what we did. We got safedogfood.com and we got started. And I mean, it's painstakingly slow to get brands off the ground.
Oh, that market. I mean, because it's been so established for so
sure,
long,
sure.
that it's got to be incredibly hard to get into, you know, to get a market share in that market.
It
now
is.
You're bringing something to the market that hasn't existed.
Sure.
Right. So that helps.
We're creating
right?
our own niche.
Yep.
The niche
yep.
is created. We yep. just identified it.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. so the situation has been there for a long time. And for those of you who don't know, we make a dog food that doesn't have copper in it. We don't add copper. We don't add protonaceous copper or copper protonate, and we don't add copper sulfate. And if you go all the way back in time, that all got started. That copper sulfate, they put it in pig food to begin with because it's a growth promotant. And anybody who's been in the livestock business knows that if you have a growth promotant and you can figure out a way to put a pound of flesh on, mm-hmm. a pound of meat on for less money.
Well, and that's what the hog market, you know,
right,
the pork market's all about. I raised pigs when I was younger.
Sure.
So it's like all you're looking at is pounds. For pounds, like how many pounds of feed am I feeding them and how many pounds of weight gain is it?
Exactly.
And how fast can they put that? That's it.
If you make it more efficient, then you make
yep.
more money.
Yep.
If you make it less efficient, you make less money.
Right. And you're not really, I mean, you're not really considering the animal's overall
no.
health. I mean, I
well,
did
only
when
alive
I was raising
for 5
them,
months.
I mean, I was
6 months,
very
6 months, yeah.
conscious of that when I was raising them, but I would take them to the butcher and the butcher, without even knowing the name, like where these hogs came from, they'd be like, oh, this is a Lucas hog because they just looked healthier. They were, you know, but generally people aren't farmer. I mean, the ag business isn't always looking at, they're just looking at that
it's
pound per pound, right?
It's a corporate thing
yeah.
usually.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to do is put it on as efficiently as possible. Well, they've mm-hmm. figured out if they fed pigs copper sulfate as a growth promotant, that maybe they could feed cattle copper sulfate in a feedlot situation, which they did. And they thought, well, if it works for...
But those are relatively short-lived animals compared
well,
to
right.
a dog.
Yeah,
right?
Steer would live a long time. I mean, a steer would live maybe 18, 19 months, mm-hmm. something like that probably. And it depends whether they're grass-fed. If they're grass-fed, they're going to be 2 years out
right,
or two,
right.
two and a quarter
right.
years out. So, but they're being grass-fed. If they're being grass-fed, there isn't any copper sulfate
right.
in the feed. But if you're feeding them corn, you know, with a mineral and, you know... usually soybean meal in there for the protein. And if you got a lot of copper sulfate, you're going to start to get that stuff being stored in the liver.
Right.
And sheep are the same way. Sheep actually have more of a problem with doing it.
I would think like if they're using them for wool, if they're using them for something outside of meat, they're going to be longer lived, right? And then store more of that copper
right.
in their body over time.
Yeah.
Sheep
although,
dying from it?
Well, yes, sheep will die from it. And it's pretty well documented. But I think really once you get past that point, once you're at that point to where you're not wanting them to grow much, then they probably don't feed them as hot
okay.
food.
I gotcha.
So,
yep.
so at that yep. point, they weigh, let's say the sheep weighs 150 pounds and it weighs 150 pounds and next year it'll weigh 150 mm-hmm. pounds and next year
yep.
it'll weigh 150 pounds. So if you're just using it to, you know, like you have a lambing operation
yeah.
or something like that, then they even started putting it in fish.
You know, kind of relay that to the dog world. I'm like, at a certain point, you don't want your dog putting
no.
on weight,
no.
right? Like, I mean, and you get to that point fairly quick
yeah.
within the first year
and
a half,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know, and this happens all the time. I'm going to tell you, this part drives me crazy. I got people bring two dogs in you know, one great big fat dog and then a regular dog, and they want to know what's wrong with the regular dog. You know, what's wrong with my regular dog? Well, like, maybe he's got a tapeworm, ma'am. You know, and it's, no, he doesn't have a tapeworm. What's wrong with your other dog? Is there something wrong with the thyroid on your other dog? Yeah. Or what's going on there? Why is your other dog so fat? Really? And they said, we thought he was the healthiest looking one. No, no, you're supposed to. I mean, there's kind of this rule of thumb, like with your dogs, you should be able to feel the ribs when you pet them.
Okay.
You're not supposed to be able to see them from across the street, the ribs. But if you can't feel the ribs, your dog's overweight. And that's what people say all the time. Well, my dog's big boned. Well, we can go
can't
back.
Can't see
and,
the bones.
We can go back, well, we can go back and take a $90 x-ray and show you that he ain't big boned. You know, and if you'd like to spend the money. Oh, that's all right. And and in fact, if they're really morbidly obese, I make them write a contract. I get a business card out and I say my dog will weigh, like if it's 100 and I think it ought to weigh 80, I figure out what the caloric needs are and I give that to them.
Okay.
And I say, this is, and I give him a little contract. It says my dog, whatever his name is, Wilbur, whatever. I said, my dog Wilbur will weigh 80 pounds a year from today. And I say, okay, put that in your wallet. Take your husband's picture out. Put it in your wallet. I said, you come back a year from now for your vaccine again. And if he's 80 pounds, you can put your husband's picture back in your wallet. You know, and some of these people do this and they come back in and they're really proud of themselves because they're like, you are right. My dog feels a lot better. Skinny. I said, well, he's not skinny. He's just right. You know, but you may interpret that. And way too many people get joy out of feeding their dogs, which is, you know,
yeah.
You know.
Your wife?
Yeah, my wife. Yeah, yeah my wife. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I get to eat the healthy stuff, but the dogs get all the good stuff. You know, I mean.
Well, it's like the subscription service is a good one, too, because you can set your dog on the appropriate amount of food, and then you know if you're feeding that dog too much because you're getting down to the end of your month, you know, or whatever your time frame was. And you've run out of food.
I was actually just thinking about this the other day. Is there a calculator on your website to say, let's...
Well,
you know.
It's really complicated. And I'm not sure the average person can do it. But if a dog weighs 66 pounds, that would be 30 kilograms. Let's see, how do we work this? So it's 30 times 30, which is 900 plus 75. So about 1,000 kilocalories. That's your resting caloric needs.
Okay.
That means if the dog's going to sit around all day with you and watch Leave It to Beaver on TV, that's your resting caloric needs. But the dog does something.
Right.
You know, plays in the yard and does all that stuff. So then it starts to exponentially go up. And if you're growing or if a dog was having puppies or things like that, though, so it's totally different. And it's a place to start.
Right.
And that's what we do. We give them a place to start. Now, most of you have to remember, most of the things on dog food bags are things that, you know, they're suggesting how much you feed.
Right.
And if your dog gets fat on that amount of food.
That's too much food.
That's too much food, yeah. Huh. So you really have to just, do you believe the bag or do you believe the dog? You always believe the dog. Mm-hmm. So you don't ever believe the bag. I mean, you can use the bag as a place to start, but I think the biggest problem we have is treats and stuff like that. And because people come in and tell me their dog eats two cups of food, and then I look at it, it's 350 kilocalories per cup, so that's 700 calories, and they got a 75-pound dog. It's like, well, this doesn't
add
this
up.
This doesn't add up, unless your dog's
there's that sirloin.
Yeah,
there's
well, it's all this stuff. They need to get all the stuff. And I get a kick out of this because I'll say, and I'm looking, nobody can hear this on the podcast, but I'm looking right at you. And then I say, well, do you feed your dog a lot of table food and that sort of thing? And they look away and they look at my diploma hanging on the wall and they answer the question while they're looking at my diploma because they can't lie to my face, you know? And so and I'm like, ma'am, do you realize how long I've been doing this? This is not going to work for you because I know right now that you are telling me a big fib. And if you were related to Pinocchio, you'd have a real problem today because there wouldn't be room for us in the room,
right.
You know, but and I'll do that with people. I try to have fun with them, and you really don't want to walk in and call their dog fat, you
right.
know, but you have to act on behalf of the dog. I mean, you're really there to be
their advocate.
Their advocate. You're the advocate for the dog, so you have to act as advocate for the dog, and sometimes that requires you have to tread on their toes a little bit when you're doing that, but I'm fine with doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I used to do this thing where I called your dog's a little bit on the corpulent side, and they shake their head. Yet they didn't know what corpulent meant, you know. Well, the problem now is the minute I step out of the room, they look corpulent up on their phone. And when I walk back in, they're mad as the devil. And, you know, it's like corpulent. I looked that up. I know what that means now, corpulent. It's morbidly obese, things like that. But, you know, I think if you kind of get after them and you know, sometimes there's been a couple times I've gone too far and I really hurt people's feelings. I always felt bad about that. But you know, they wanted to argue about everything. It's like, no, this is not an argument because –
Yeah, I mean, why take your – I've always been like, why take anything to an expert and then just to debate deny them. What they tell you? Like, that makes zero sense to me, no matter what you're doing.
Like, I totally agree.
If you go somewhere, like whether it be a electrical contractor or a vet, it's like if you go to them with an issue, a question, and then you just argue – about their answer.
It's like, then why'd you come?
Well, it's kind of like when your kids are younger and they want to just get the answer that they want. So they ask like multiple people until they get the one answer they want. Mm-hmm. And they'll argue with everyone until they get that one answer. Like, that's kind of how it feels. It's like, what are you here for?
Well, you can't give in. I mean, that's the thing you have to do. So fat has, we used to think of fat as fairly innocuous. I don't know if we talked about this before, but there's a hormone that's made by fat called leptin. And that creates the inflammation in the joints on the dog and really people for that matter. So every once in a while you see somebody that's really fairly inactive, but quite a bit overweight and they don't do anything, but they need a knee replacement or a hip replacement. And you're thinking, why do you need a knee replacement? Well, that, you know, the guy that runs 27 miles a week, you know, he's beating the snot out of his legs and everything, but he rests at night and he's skinny. Mm-hmm. So there's not much inflammation that is occurring in his joints when he's sleeping at night. But with the other person, he or she, there's inflammation while they're sleeping. There's inflammation.
Right, all the time.
Yeah. They can be doing nothing or everything or something and they still have inflammation in their joints. And eventually the joints rebel and you get so much arthritis, you have to have it changed out. So,
yeah. And there's, I mean, that'll lead, there's some questions I have too.
Sure, go ahead.
With joints, with dogs, because, you know, I'm speaking from the hunting community here. Yeah. And I know Kai's had some things of this too, is because we're on the topic, ACLs and joint issues with specifically retrievers or upland
dogs. I have that written in my notes because
I've seen it in our blue tick recently, you know, and so I want to get your feedback on this or your experience on this. So when you see a dog like our blue tick, he's had kind of this reoccurring, it'll be almost lame for a couple of days and then it'll go away, and I kind of feel like that's a ACL type injury where it's like after a few days and he's able to rest at like 100% rest, just like lay down all day. And then he's like back to 100%. Right. And then he'll do something a few months later where he'll re-aggravate it. And I've heard, and this might be Kai's experience too, is like dogs, once they get into their ACL injuries, it's very difficult because a lot of times you can go and do the surgery on one ACL and then they blow out.
Sure. It happens all the time. It's pretty common. I'd say probably 50% of the time they blow one, they're going to blow the other.
Is it? And maybe you can speak to that, like why that occurs or how that
occurs. Well, you know, you play golf?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Not as much as this guy.
Okay. So you know what a dog
leg is? I've been playing him for a while.
So you know what a dog leg is? So if you can imagine that we're going to do this whole post with you standing in the middle of the room in a squatting position like you're catching a baseball game, and we do this day after day after day after day, that's what a dog does. We're sitting here right now on stools, and none of the four of us have any pressure at all on our ACL. But if you go over there and squat on the floor, there's pressure on your ACL. So a dog has this thing where you know, the weight goes down and then it changes directions by 30 or 35 degrees or whatever it is. So there's a lot of pressure on that. And especially, you know, they're about half crazy. A lot of them are, you know, say run.
That's our blue ticks.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
So when you do that, what happens is you're starting to put pressure on there. You know, it's like tying your shoes. You tie your shoes. All of a sudden your shoelace starts to fray. Okay. And you're like, what kind of dude are you? Are the kind of guy that goes ahead and gets new shoelaces, or do you wait for it to break and then see if you can tie it?
I know which one Corey is.
I know what kind everybody is in the room. So that's most of us are just like, I don't have time to go find a shoelace. Are you kidding? Anyway, I'll figure out how to tie it.
It's not broken.
So that's what happens there. They fray, and all of a sudden they go out and almost do nothing, and it pops, and you have to have it fixed. If you know, if you got a little dog, I will tell you this. If you got a dog that's less than 20 pounds, less than 15 pounds, something like that, a lot of those dogs don't need to be repaired because they're not putting that much weight on that ACL. So we get a lot of dogs. In fact, we have cats that rupture their ACLs. We don't do anything with them. They pretty much go back to normal after a while. So, but we do have the big dogs, and then we do what you call a retinacular at our office, but a lot of people do TPLOs or things like that, and they're fairly extensive surgeries. But no matter what you do, you're probably going to end up with arthritis in that joint.
Mm.
So we can talk about that.
I'd like to know the arthritis, because my dog, he's 9, and great hunting dog, but it's like I almost have to retire him from hunting.
I got good news for you.
Yeah?
So let's start out with what we used to do, okay? We used the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, and those came on board 25, 30 years ago. Rimadyl, carprofen, Prevacox, Duramax. Okay, the nonsteroidals, they work really well to take the pain away, okay? Then we would sometimes supplement them with glucosamine, chondroitin, sulfate, MSM, those sorts of things, Movaflex, the holistic products, okay? And then they made this stuff called Adequan, which was for arthritis in horses. It was injectable, made out of bovine tracheal cartilage. It's kind of a cool drug.
Yeah.
And then they started using it, and dogs work pretty good. And you get an injection every week, usually. Usually I just show clients how to do that. And they buy a bottle and go home and give it. And I have clients that do that all the time and have very, very good luck with it. But it's almost always this dual the dual modality, multimodal, gabapentin, which is a nerve pain thing, carprofen, Movaflex, Adequan. So it's like having a wall safe. There's usually a combination. You figure out if I do this and this and this, and it may take you a month or two to figure that out.
Right.
If I do this and this and this, it works pretty well. Change the story now. Now we have a new drug, which I don't think anybody's seen. We did the study on this drug called Librela. Librela is a monoclonal antibody, anti-nerve growth factor. So we did that study. It was owned by Pfizer, and we did the drug study when Pfizer owned it, and then when Zoetis left Pfizer, they made him do the drug study all over again. So we did, I think, the drug study 4 times. And I mean, when it was a double-blind study, which means some people got it, some people didn't.
Yep.
You didn't even have to ask. The minute they walked in the door, for their 14-day checkup, they had that stupid grin on their face. And they're like, wow, does that stuff work good? So we have that now. We got that about a month or two prior to the release of that. Now, it's been released really since sometime in the spring. But they have problems. They have to go ahead and make sure they got enough. So if they get started selling it, they got enough in inventory. They did that with Apoquel, a drug that was really popular for allergies. They didn't make enough of it in the entire. This was a funny story because they told me one time. I don't probably out of school, but I'm gonna tell it anyway. That they thought they'd sell $15 to $18 million worth of that when they first brought it out. In the first year, they had orders for $200 million.
Oh, my gosh.
And we loaded up on it because we'd done the study on that.
Right. Yeah.
So we knew that really worked. So there's two kinds of drugs, ones that are over-promised and under-delivered and any other way around, under-promised and over-delivered. So
this one because you've seen the responses from people.
This is an over-delivery type drug. So this is
Librela,
and this injection.
Okay.
So you get your veterinarian gives the injection, and I'll tell you how we're going to use it. We're probably going to just teach people how to give it.
Right.
And then they'll have a Librela at home. We'll teach them how to give an injection.
Is it just similar like a every other week type of?
It's not issue. Every other week. It's usually once a month, maybe every 2 months. So we get these drugs.
So you could like even focus it down on like a hunting season type thing.
Sure.
And then maybe they're resting.
Exactly.
The rest of the season.
Oh, I love this.
Because I would love to see Hank back out.
Yeah, me too. Because, he's 9.
Well,
he's
got to drive. Just come in and give him a dose of it and see what you got. Because I just gave a little poodle dose of it the other day, and the people were like, wow, he's like a puppy again.
Yeah. Last night he was playing with Ford. Like, they were actually playing. And I've had Ford since June, and they've never really played. And last night they were playing. Like, it was really cool to see them being dogs.
Sure.
And to be able to,
if
he didn't have that pain and I could like.
Did he have an ACL? Did he have an ACL rupture?
No.
He's just getting old and arthritic.
He's getting old. Yeah. We've done x-rays and I can't remember. He never tore anything. It was like just fracture, like, what did they say? Nothing tore. I know that.
Soft tissue damage. Yeah. So you know, when people come in, and they got a dog that's 11 years old, and they're like, do you think my dog has arthritis? And I said, well, you're 70. You two are about the same age. do you have any arthritis? Oh, yeah. And that's always a big no-no, because they'll tell you the 7 or 8 things that are done that's wrong with them by the time the appointment's over. But, you know, by the time they tell me everything's wrong with them, the appointment's all done.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is the game changer. So this will be – and some of your listeners will remember where they were when they heard about this drug because –
if you can get your dog out there – like, if you've got a 7, 8-year-old dog that's got the drive and everything but is dealing with this arthritic pain –
yep.
It's like if you can get your dog another 2 or 3 years even out there in the field, like that's
a game changer
for a lot of hunters. You know, well, you don't want to see your dog in pain,
and the dog
you don't want to be causing additional pain.
Hank wants to be doing it, but I just can't.
Well, you'll have to give a dose and see how it works.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Have you done anything else with him, like the arthritis meds or anything?
Yeah, I've tried it, and it doesn't really do much. I mean.
Yeah. Well, maybe this won't do. If it's got if you got nerve damage or something like that, it's probably not going to help nerve damage. But where you have arthritis, where you have pain, and the pain receptors,
he just looks stiff.
Yeah,
he's just and then when he runs retrieves for a while. I mean, he'll just kind of hold a leg up and just like
in the rear. Okay. Yeah. So I would try Librela and see what happened. And I've had dogs where we gave you the injection and it lasts 3 months. So and that's what you do. Manufacturer says, you put this stuff on you give this injection every 30 days. Well, it's like the dog food. They're selling the Librela and somebody else is selling dog food, and they both are part of a corporation. So you give the Librela, and when they're stiff again, you give the Librela again.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
So, and I think what you'll see is it's a monoclonal antibody. So you have to think of this as like Pac-Man. You know, it's going to vacuum up the anti-nerve growth factor. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay.
So this is a really, when they told us about this, we're trying to think. You know, you lay in bed and think, how the hell would this really work? You know, but then you use it and it's like, I guess that's how the hell it works. You know, I can't tell you it's going to be great for, you know, it ain't going to fix a dog with a broken leg, but I mean, it'll go a long ways to some of these old injuries and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the next question, I don't think we covered it last time, but swimmer's tail in dogs, limber tail or my dog's had it a few times, or my lab.
You mean sprain their tail?
Well, it's like they work. I don't really know what the origin is. I've tried to pinpoint it on my dog. It's like, is it because he's got a wet, cold tail and he's sitting on it? Or is it because he's done so much work in the water? This, you know, has he actually, you know, for lack of a better word, worn out his muscle in his tail?
It
be like 2 or 3 days where that dog's tail is just down and he's uncomfortable and he can't, you know, he doesn't really.
Well, if you've ever watched a dog work, the more scent they can find, that sort of thing, the more the tail goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine they just whack it back and forth enough times that you have cramping in there or something. I don't know. I mean, that's probably it. Does it seem to be the dogs with the big, heavy tails or real skinny tails?
Labs. I mean, labs.
Labs, Hank
had
it once.
The ones where you barely can get your hand around the whole
thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to like pinpoint it because I don't want to, you know, like if I know what's causing it, I can help prevent it.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, probably the best thing you could do, I would think, probably would be to get some carprofen or Deramax.
Have it on.
Well, you give it before you go hunting. You know, I think that's I still play basketball one night a week. Don't ask me why. But anyway, I still play basketball one night a week. And I take, it's called Naprosyn. What's the other name for it? I can't remember. Naprosyn. I take Naprosyn, a leave. Okay. I take a leave before I go play an hour. And so when I go out and I get the crap beat out of me, I'm not so sore. Well, when I wasn't taking it, we'd stop at the saloon and have a beer, and I'd go home and I'd get in the chair and watch something on TV, and I couldn't get out of the chair, you know. And you know how that is. And so it's like you're all, especially if you fall asleep for 30 minutes or something like that, and you go to get out of the chair. But if you take the Naprosyn, Aleve, before you go, and it's kind of protective, and you take that stuff before you go play. And now don't give Naprosyn to your dog, but you get Duramax or Prevacox or something like that.
And all that, that's all prescription.
Yeah, it's a prescription
stuff.
Thing. Yeah, yeah, you give it, probably give it before you go hunting and then give it after you.
Cause yeah, it's only been, my experience has only been when he's
cold.
When it's multiple days, yeah, when it's cold and he's, you know, it's multiple hunts in a row. Like it might be 3 mornings in a row, 2 mornings in a row. And it could be, you know, water work and upland, you know, combined. It's only been when we've been in South Dakota, but it's happened the last 2 times.
Yeah. But he's not hunted. And you'd have to look at it like this. I went and played in the Senior Olympics this year. And so we go down to Pittsburgh and we go play in Senior Olympics.
What event?
Basketball with my friends, from around here. Anyway, wow.
Did you bring your gold medal?
I got a medal in my car. I'll wear it
in.
Yeah, really?
They had to make it this big.
Yeah.
so they could read it?
When you were in high school, you got a little medal. Now you're old. You get a great big medal because there ain't that many of you playing anymore. Yeah,
you got the medal with you? Seriously?
He does.
Okay,
it's on his car.
You have to wear it for the picture.
I do it for to be a smart aleck. It's the only reason I'm doing it. So
that's awesome.
We went to a Michigan State game, and I wore it at the tailgate. The girl came over across from the crossway. What's your medal for, buddy?
You know, does it look like from a distance, would you think it's a legit like gold medal from a
It wasn't medal? Gold. We were in third place.
But, still. It's, bronze looks a lot like gold anyway.
Well, it's so big I have to join a health club just to wear it, I think. You know, and so...
take the leave before you put the medal on.
Yeah. But
neck pain.
But think about it this way: we go down there and play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Well, on Thursday and Friday, well, there were teams that just said we're not, we're still in the playoffs, but we're done. We're going to go home because we're a mess. But it was kind of weird. You get up in the morning and you have coffee and you have a donut or a bowl of cereal or something, and then you go take a shower and you put your work clothes on, which happened to be basketball duds and basketball stuff, and you go play, and it was like going to work every day, and that's what happened at the end. People were all beat up, all beat up, and so
if you're a spectator, you really want to go to the last couple games.
Well, actually, the first couple, really, because that's where the real basketball is. At the end, it's just old sore men beating the hell out of other old sore men, but I can understand that with the dog because it's just, I don't play every day for 5 days ever. That's the only time in the year I'll do that. It's if we're going to go to the Senior Olympics. So I play and then I get 6 days of recovery. Well, when you're out there doing that, your dog doesn't have the recovery time. So imagine that there's just, you know, do you ever remember when you first started playing high school sports when you were all sore? All that lactic acid building up because you hadn't done this.
I mean, I hear it from my daughter. Yeah, that's but
doing
I,
yeah. 2 days. Well, I don't get that anymore because we play once a week, so I don't have that soreness unless I fall down or get run over or something like that. But that's the big thing is that as the week went on, there were some teams that just packed their bags and went home. And said we forfeit this game right here because we haven't gotten. We have
enough, enough guys.
They show up with 6 or 7 guys, and then 5 of them get hurt. Well, you have 7 guys, subtract 5, and you're playing 3-on-3. That's actually 3-on-2 then.
Right.
And there were guys that had their arms in slings and
goodness,
just patches over
bodies
their
everywhere.
So it's a stamina game.
Black eyes, all sorts of stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well.
I'm looking forward to
Dr. Pete's over here. I got Labretta.
Labrella.
He's just dealing it out.
You want some of this?
That's canonized. So just so you know, it's canonized. See, we actually have the same thing for cats called Silencia. Silencia and Labrella. So the cat one's the same way. It's a felinized monoclonal antibody. And that's going to be the way this business goes in the next few years.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of monoclonal antibodies. They use it a lot in people. And
just like with the COVID thing. You know, they had the monoclonal antibody infusion and
you feel better a few hours after you have it.
Yeah.
And those things go in and vacuum everything up. So it's a new day. So there's new things to talk about. That's always kind of the nice thing about this profession in general. You know, it isn't like you got to keep telling this. Well, you do tell the same story over and over. I told you the story about the ticks and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I have to repeat that story over and over and over again.
Right.
You know what? I'm repeating it to new people, so I try to make sure.
Well, and even that's changed, right? Like the duration of ticks, the season duration has changed.
Well,
like everything's
even
still changing, in the knowledge of the different diseases coming from.
Well, even the ticks are changing. So I don't know if you know, but down in southwestern Michigan now, like in the Cassopolis, Decatur area, they got Lone Star tick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you know what that one carries?
That's the meat allergy, right?
It is. Yeah. Red meat allergy. Yeah. Now, if you get sucked on by that thing, you're going to be eating the other white meat the rest of your life because you can't eat red meat after that, and you have allergies. In fact, some people get so bad that they end up in a hospital after they eat red meat. So that's coming. So we're going to have to be careful because, you know, at one time when I first got out of school, we didn't see any ticks, hardly at all.
Right.
You know, it's like, go in room two, they got a tick in there on a dog. And it's like, so we'd all go in and look, ooh, look, it's a tick on a dog. And now somebody comes in with 8 ticks on a dog and nobody even bothers to raise their eyebrows.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And I had a dog come in one time from Missouri, must have had 250 ticks on him. I'd never seen anything like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And they all carry disease,
Hank,
Lyme.
Yeah. Hank had Lyme's this year. Remember?
Anaplasmosis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, in fact, sometimes that can be your lame dog is because they got Lyme disease.
Right, which he did. Yeah, he was. I mean, he went on the whole gamut of meds and antibiotics. He's doing a lot better now, but he was definitely just slow and it was just, you could tell something was off.
Well, this part of the country, this part of this county right here, and your people are listening from all over the country, is that right?
So the world.
We're in world. Okay, so we're in a place.
In Germany.
I gotta tell you where
there's one person in Japan too.
Is there?
Yeah.
There's quite a few from Germany. Like that's surprising.
But we're in that Augusta Richland area.
Yeah.
And Augusta Richland area has a lot of Lyme disease. And there's really two kind of dogs in the in that Augusta area. Those that are on tick preventative and those that have Lyme disease. So that's, you're starting to get those kind of areas now where if you're not on the stuff, you need to be on it because it's a problem. So if you're friends out of the country, all you have to do is look at Michigan, and we are north of colon. We are east of climax.
And we're
west of 69. So that's where if you can find those three places, you'll know where we are.
It's the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, it's the Bermuda Triangle. This will all get axed out in the real.
No.
It's staying.
Wow. No, it's staying.
Oh, you guys got guts.
So we've asked some of the questions I had, the bigger dog. Do you have?
I do have one more, and I know they make them already, like on, who is it? Is that like that first aid kit for dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Alex Langbone.
I have like one in my truck, but I didn't know if there was something that maybe a go-to of just having this, a few things on hand.
Seen that, and I think those are, you know, you have the bandage material. So if you get a laceration, it's bleeding hard. So you can put a bandage on tight enough to stop the bleeding.
Right. But is there like a certain set of like meds, like we keep ibuprofen, Tylenol, I mean, certain things on hand?
Not for your dogs.
No, but for us? Yeah. Is there like a certain...
Well, you could do that. I mean, you could certainly ask, and most of those are prescription. So you could say, you could actually call your veterinarian and say, you know what, I'm going to go hunting. Is it possible for me to get a 10-day prescription for a non-steroidal? And then you start them out, you know, a day or two ahead of time. And then, and as you went hunting, then you'd use it. Now, one of the things that's not in that I might include in that would be an electric thermometer. So you could take the dog's temperature.
Mm.
You're trying to figure out, is our dog cold or is our dog not cold? Why is he shaking? Yeah. So you take the temperature and it's like, yeah, it's 94. I guess he's cold. Maybe we ought to go back to the truck. You know, and I think that's a big thing with veterinarians. We're like, okay, let's put the dog first and doing stuff in second. And, you know, and that's...
What are they supposed to... What's their temp?
There should be 101.
So even the opposite direction, if you're out running them.
Right.
You know, and is this dog getting overheated?
Yes.
Is this...
Because once they get to 107 degrees, they'll fry their brain. And if you keep doing that, you can't do that. You can't do that. And especially if you get anything that's a little heavy, you know, where the larynx and pharynx maybe doesn't move as much air in and out.
So what, just so it's clear, what's that typical threshold? Like, what's the low temp where you're like, hey, if it drops below this,
if it drops below 95, you should be concerned.
And then if it gets up to
108, you should be real concerned. Okay. In fact, that dog needs to be you need to find a garden hose or a lake right now. Okay. So that's what you need to do with those dogs.
That's not something I'd heard either, is keeping up. It makes perfect sense.
Total sense, you know?
Yeah, just especially, change it every so often because it's got a battery in it, unless you want to get a real thermometer with mercury in it. But
those take too long.
Yeah, they take too long, and we get old and we can't read them anymore. Right. So that's
even understanding like where your dog's at in certain conditions, so you know like if you're putting them in stressed position, you know, like if you're taking them out hunting and you're hunting in these cold environments and you're like, I don't know how the dog really feels about this.
We don't know if it's adrenaline.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
We don't know if it's them cold. Or,
and sometimes what we do is people, we go, I'm not too hot. I'm not too cold. I guess the dog wouldn't be too hot. I guess the dog wouldn't be too cold. Well, the dog's in cold water. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there with a park on.
Right.
And a wooden
and
a wooden
Buddy heater.
Yeah.
Not me.
Eating
you put
snacks.
Those little things in your toes and you're eating Chex Mix. Yeah, it's not the same thing. And, but you got to get them. In fact, that's sometimes if you think it's going to be real cold out and stuff, maybe you do park the truck fairly close to so you can go back and at least get that thing warm. Once it gets too cold, they start to, you know, they'll start to, what they'll do is they'll try to preserve their organs, their kidneys, their liver, their heart. So they start to get pretty cold on the extremities, which would be the rectum, which is where you're taking the temperature. So I'd be real careful about that. And every once in a while I see people, I don't see, you know, by the time they get to us, it's kind of a done deal sometimes.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes they don't get to us. And
that's a bummer.
It is a bummer. But if your dog's too hot, you got
to
get them.
Typically see them being too hot than too cold?
Dependent in the general dog population, yes. But your dogs are in the water. Most dogs are smart enough not to go in the water when it's that cold out.
You know,
but they're trained to, at all costs, go get that duck or go get that goose. And so,
and they may not be working, you know, like depending on the hunt, they might work for the first 10 minutes and then sit for 3 hours, you know, and they've been wet
really
and cold.
And
you have no, like, you know, you're like, no, they have, you don't have any reference.
Well,
you
they can't. Shiver a little bit and stuff. And when they start shivering, you need to do something about that. So I think.
Okay.
So I think that's the.
Because I've also seen it where, I mean, he's not even hunting yet. He hasn't even been in the water. And he's shaking, but I think it's adrenaline.
Well, that could be anticipation of what you're going to do. Yeah. So, but generally, if he sits there and he's fairly cool, calm, and collected, then he gets in the water two or three times and he's shivering. Okay. Well,
I've seen it where his ears will just kind of drop down a little bit and he's more in like a protective mode.
Sure.
You know? And that's when we just.
Yeah. Well, knowing you two guys, I don't think you want a dog. I think you want that dog.
You're right.
And so when you want that dog, then you treat it like it's part of your family because it is.
It's less, and we'll talk a little bit about this, but it's less utilitarian.
Yes.
Right? Like we're both of us are more of like a balance, right? Like
sure.
Yeah. We want this dog to do what it's bred to do and enjoy that, but we also want our dogs to be happy, comfortable, healthy, right? Like it's not 100%. Like they're also family dogs, right? They're probably family dogs. They're family dogs first.
They sleep in the house. Really? Well, you know, when I was a kid, everybody had a dog house. I mean, if you if you went to a grade school now and said, does anybody have a dog house at their house? And one kid might raise his hand and said, my dad told me he was in it one time. But that's about all you get out of them.
It's been a big culture.
It's a big, because they sleep on the bed or they sleep on a mat at the some bedding material at the foot of your bed.
Yeah, I mean, our dogs have like three beds.
Yep.
Right? Like in the house.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice beds.
Yeah, orthopedic, Tempur-Pedic.
Per square inch, nicer bed than I have.
Right.
You know? Orvis has made a lot of money selling beds to dogs. Yeah. Or not sell them to the dogs, sell them to the dog's owners. Yeah. But anyway,
All right.
But I mean, that's, so I would always tell you that when in doubt, you know how this all works is, should we go back to the truck? Well, I guess if you have a thermometer, you could take the dog's temperature and you tell yourself what's going on there.
Yeah, even if you did it a few times so you knew, right?
Yes.
Like,
right.
Okay, this dog's been in this condition. I know from past experiences that this is probably hitting a point where he's not doing well.
Sure.
And that's just like there's no reference. So even if you just used it a few times, you're like, now I know what my dog's capable of.
Is there a specific thermometer?
Well, not really.
Just a rectal thermometer.
Yeah, just a rectal thermometer. And you always have to make sure as you stick it in, you just don't stick it in a piece of poop that you kind of slide it to the one side or the other side. So it's actually on the wall of the rectum. So you got to have it in far enough.
Right.
You can't have it out the edge because that will be a little cooler. But yeah, you just go in there and stick it in. And probably the best thing to do would be to try it a couple times, you know, at home.
Yeah, not in a
hunting. Be like, whoa, I'm not going hunting again.
Yeah.
Seriously, I go fetch a duck and I get something stuck
yeah,
in my
Yeah, right.
Ground.
Yeah, you don't want to.
You gotta be kidding. Are you? What kind of goofy hunter are you?
So we got some.
You might want to cut that out too. I'm not sure.
No, that's staying. That. Okay. So I do. I want to talk about the new brand.
Yeah.
The brand moving forward.
Sure.
So it's Voyager dog food now. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the packaging.
Love the packaging. Love the website. Seen the truck, not in person because Molly didn't take it.
I'm sorry.
But.
Well, that's what people say, man. That's a cool truck.
Right.
That's
it's neat. Awesome. And I really like the trailer too. The trailer's sweet.
Well, you have heart attacks when you're driving it down the road because people will wave you down. And I'm like, oh my God, I have a flat. The trailer has a flat. And I'll pull over. I'm like, oh no, they were just waving.
Oh, is the trailer? Do you use the trailer for storage, or is it actually like a functional? Like,
no, it's a functional.
Camping?
It's a. Why don't we?
Well, in the back is storage.
But you use it as a camper.
Well, no. So the back is all storage, but I hang a hammock in the back. So when I'm traveling long distances, if I need to stop and sleep, I hammock in the back.
Oh, really? Nice. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
But it's more or less to give out samples and literature. Mm-hmm.
The side of it pops out. So the side of it's like the storefront.
Oh, okay.
And then don't you have like a little picture area?
Yeah, in the back. The back pops out too. Yeah. And then you have the picture area in the back.
Real popular.
I'll make a note to share the photo of it.
People put a cowboy hat on.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. And it's pretty cool. Like to see the stories and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, like that's the back of the trailer.
Yeah.
Or that's the side.
That's the back.
That's the back, yeah.
I'll have to find a picture of the side.
And we have sort of a motto that's it's a voyage. Your dog's on. You're just along for the ride.
It's your dog's adventure. You're just along
for the adventure.
Ride.
That's right, yeah.
That's the side.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been...
You need one, Corey.
Yeah. Well, I know. I need a lot of
No, you don't. They're expensive.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have one.
You have to go down to Delton and rob the bank about 3 days in a row, you know, so...
So you're obviously you've got a kind of a mobile storefront now or a mobile marketplace. And so you've kicked up as part of the Voyager brand. I know you were doing a lot of shows before.
Not as many.
But you've kind of like, that's a strategy you guys are taking is kind of like pushing more towards the trade shows.
You know what?
Getting in front of people.
I will tell you this. We start this dog food company out and I told everybody when we started it out, I said, we'll do probably about 3/4 of this wrong, which we did. You know, I mean, you try
it's
to.
Right. It's so not
you,
wrong. It's experiments.
It's experiments.
Right.
That's
it's
right.
Tuition.
So you go down. Payment. So you can go down a road and you can decide, I don't know where I'm at. I better turn around and go back and then go down a different road and then learn the roads and then decide what road you want to be on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we did. We tried to put this dog food in a store and the people who were selling it couldn't tell the story. So we tell the story. And we tell the story, and then really, you buy the food, and the food pretty much speaks for itself. Then you let the food do its thing.
Because
the food will be as cool as the truck is, and that's what we tell people, that the dog food's better.
Well, I tell my daughter, I'm like, why don't you feed the dogs some those mini hamburgers? Because they look like, I mean, the dog food itself looks like mini hamburgers.
Yeah. Oh, right. Right.
So I'm like, it's just a fun, you know, it's
It is different. A fun thing, but it's but in the end, they're We built something, the dog food, that's based on science. Mm-hmm. We're not science diet, but we're a food based on science. And so that's what we do. And we have no beef, no milk, no wheat in our diets. And we think
it's ironic that I call them hamburger.
Yeah, because those are the
things. That's just
things.
Like what
Well, that's
you
what people come in
see.
With ear infections all the time. And I'm like, and I used to tell people, I said, you know, this is your third time. Why can't I get my husband to quit feeding him from the table? I said, well, go home and tell your husband that I'm taking your family's money home to my wife every month, and she's buying a bunch of crap we don't even need at this point. So why don't you just don't feed them hamburgers anymore? Don't feed them from the table anymore. Yeah. I would be happy. We could spend money on your dog, however you want to spend it, but we don't need to spend it on ear infections all the time or diarrhea or anything else.
Right.
So, So we have no beef, no milk, no wheat in it. Now, you could be allergic to chicken, or you could be allergic to anything that's in a dog food. They make people used to use ostrich meat to make dogs that had food allergies. And I guess eventually you could become maybe allergic to ostrich meat. Very, very unusual. But we're making a hydrolyzed diet now out of salmon, which means the hydrolyzation means we've taken the animal protein and cut it in little pieces so the body won't recognize it. sort of like they did with the Starship Enterprise when they had the cloaking. Mm-hmm. You're sort of cloaking it. And so so as the protein goes in, it's instead of being one big, you know, like you see your picture on the wall, the ducks and everything, you take a pair of scissors and cut that in 100 pieces. That'd make you really mad and I'd never be asked to come back here again. But the whole idea is that you wouldn't be able to recognize it as a picture of a bunch of ducks.
Right.
And that's what you're doing with the body. The body can no longer recognize and react. So we're making a hydrolyzed diet now. We make a performance diet. We make a couple maintenance diets.
So that is not going to, it's not allergic? Like that's a...
It's for dogs with sensitive
skin. It's just for dogs, yeah. Okay. So if I look at 100 dogs with ear infections, about 25 or 30 of them will have some GI issues, vomiting bile from time to time, soft stools. This happens all the time. People say, I say, does your dog have diarrhea? Never has diarrhea. And I said, well, how many bowel movements do you have a day? 4. I said, well, that's too many. Should have 1.5. That's the most he should have. So where the bowel movements like, well, they're normal. I said, can you pick it up with a paper towel? Oh, no. You can't pick it up with a paper towel. I said, well, your dog has diarrhea probably.
Yeah.
You just don't think of it as diarrhea because you think of it, you know, when
it's
the dog,
normalized to
when
them
the dog stands 5 feet from the door and can paint the door with the bowel movement. And I said, that's what your idea of diarrhea is. And I said, so, That is, in fact, diarrhea, but it's not what I was, you know, I think that.
Yeah, that's so an emergency.
Yeah, that's an emergency. So we have to look at all that stuff and kind of go, okay, this is kind of what this is.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's what we're doing. And like I say, we're putting grain in because we're pretty satisfied. There's been enough papers written about dilated cardiomyopathy in dogs. Mm-hmm. They're on grain-free diets, and they're on grain-free diets because people are on grain-free diets because they have celiac disease. Dogs don't have celiac disease. You could be allergic to a grain. I'll grant you that. But dogs don't get celiac disease, which is the main reason people aren't grain-free diets.
So I'd like to clarify something. You say grain-inclusive diet for ours, but no wheat.
But no wheat.
People get confused about the grain and the
wheat.
Well,
I pick my grains. And speaking of migraines, I pick my grains, and usually the bearded stuff I'm not as big on. Bearded, you know, like wheat.
Okay.
Bearded. Mm-hmm. We have a little barley in one of our foods, but, you know, I like oats. I really like corn. I think corn's a great thing to have in a diet. It has a lot of cysteine and methionine in it. It's sort of demonized in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're feeding our dog and it has our dog food and it has corn in it, you know, and people say, why does that dog like that food so much? I'm like, well, you know, when you go to the movie theater and they're popping, you're like, I'm not going to order any popcorn. Then you smell the popcorn. Yeah. I'm going to order some popcorn because it smells good when it's cooked. And and so I like corn being in stuff. I like oats being in stuff. I like rice being in stuff. And those all have the amino acid complement to make taurine, which is one of the things that contributes to these dilated cardiomyopathies.
Promotes so heart health.
Well, there's a big fight now. The lentil people are suing the people at Tufts because of the research they did, and they think they're making this up. Well, I don't think the people at Tufts are making it up. And it's one of the reasons that dog foods I have a hard time with. Maybe we've talked about this before, but I have a hard time with people who aren't veterinarians that make dog food decide what and what shouldn't be in dog food. Yeah, so I told somebody one time, you know, it's kind of weird. On Sunday afternoon, you can turn the TV on, you can watch golf. And all the people who play golf during the week watch the real people, the real golfers play on Sundays. And that's what I look at sometimes with our profession is that we're on the pro tour.
And
they're just watching.
Yeah.
And but they're making the rules up for the golf. How can that be? How can they make they be making decisions on this stuff when they don't even play? And in fact, they're denying right now that they don't think there's a real problem with copper sulfate and protonaceous copper in dog food. And they're fighting this. You know why? Because it's going to be expensive. It's going to be expensive for the dog food companies to fall in line and do this. They're not going to do this.
Yeah, especially because they're in a different market strategy than you guys are too, where it's like wholesaling to everyone. It's all wholesale, right? Like there's very little direct to consumer stuff in that market. And that's where you guys, that's probably your bread and butter is
chewy,
more
Chewy is the big one.
Yeah. Well, you can't just kill a few dogs every now and then and find that acceptable any more than if there was something in if a certain brand of pork and beans, you know, 0.7% of the people that ate it died. I mean,
wasn't there a number at one point, like maybe they still use this, where it was like they put a cost per life. It was like $600,000.
Yeah. I don't even think it was so that.
It was, well, it's, I mean, inflation.
Actuarial.
Yeah.
Charge,
like, is there something like that in the dog world where they're putting it out there?
If there is, we don't know about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, so
pharmaceutical companies or these, you know, dog food companies are like, well, you know, if we lose one,
yeah,
you know, it might be a single.
Yeah, we're still that, profitable for this quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of the vaccines are that way. They can be a little bit reactive. And so most of the time we realize we have a rule at our place. If it weighs less than 20 pounds, if it 10 pounds, if it weighs less than 10 pounds, if it's a little white dog, if it's a dachshund, or if it's a dog that has his nose pushed in, then we always give him Benadryl before we give him the vaccines.
Okay.
Because we didn't used to give Lepto to that many dogs, but now we're the number one dog for getting leptospirosis, which can kill your dog easily, is a Yorkshire Terrier, because a lot of veterinarians are a little bit mousy about vaccinating those dogs. I don't mind vaccinating those dogs. I just make sure I give them Benadryl before I do it.
Mm.
And then so they go back and they get an injection of diphenhydramine, and then they get their vaccine. Mm. And so now what I've done is I've marked the deck. And if you ever played Old Maid, you only got to mark one card,
mm-hmm.
the Old Maid, and so you don't get it. And excuse me, that's what we did. We marked the cards so that we would win more often than not. And we're doing it for the dog, for the client, and hell, we're even doing it for ourselves. I mean, we want to be winners. We want the dog to be a winner. We want the client to be a winner.
So the brand, you took it away from, you moved from the Scoop to
Voyager.
Mm-hmm. And that, with that probably came a shift. You talked about, like, you know, we don't call them mistakes or experiments in the business. When you're growing, when you're starting a business, like, you're always learning from what you did, and they're not mistakes because you don't know yet. You're like going into it with this idea of like, hey, we're going to try this and see what works, and you figure out what's profitable for you, what's efficient, and what helps most people. And so what's been the shift in that regard from Scoop to Voyager? Like, have you learned some things, and now are you trying to kind of go in a different direction, or
we're selling almost all direct to clients.
Yes.
So that's what we're doing. And we find out that people, once they feed that dog food for a while and it works for them. So we didn't change the food. We just changed the bag.
And the marketing and the strategy and the messaging. Tell them about your saying. If it's, we have a bunch of sayings and
for the, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Dr. Pete's got a couple.
Well, I often said if something cost a nickel and it didn't work, it was expensive. But if it cost a dollar and it worked, it was cheap. You know, but the nickel you spent, that was the most expensive thing you bought all day. So if it works, it's cheap. If it doesn't work, it's expensive.
Right.
And like with the antibiotic thing, you know, there were times I'm like, well, this client could probably afford this antibiotic a little easier than they could afford the other one. But if it's not going to work, you know, now they're spending even more money because now they got to go come back and get the right medicine.
Right.
It's just easier to sell them the right thing the first time.
Yeah. You know? Which applies to the dog food if it works.
If it works, it's cheap. And if it doesn't work, it's expensive.
Yeah.
And so for these people, so there's some of these copper storage dogs that people have, 10 grand. By the time they do a biopsy and everything, and especially if they live in an area like Chicago or New York where things are a little more expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of veterinarians don't want to do the biopsy, so they send to get a laparoscopic liver biopsy. Mm-hmm. And those are expensive as the devil. And we talked about this a little bit. People are disappointed and they're mad, and they aren't just mad. They're damn mad. They're mad as hell. Why were they doing this? Why are they doing this? And I'm like, you know, it's a good question. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, but other than somebody thinks that copper belongs in dog food, somebody thinks that dogs ought to be on grain-free dog food. Nope. Some people think dogs ought to have beef, milk, and wheat in their diet. Nope. Not for me. I mean, you could have it in your diet and not have any problems.
Right.
But why roll the dice?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, we could drive from here to Key West without our seatbelt on. Probably nothing would happen. But, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the big shift is just the information and peace of mind and giving people the understanding of what goes into it. And I think before it was most of our clients were copper storage disease dogs. Mm-hmm. And now we're really trying to push for just this as an overall healthy dog.
As a prophylactic.
Right. For all dogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I've heard a few people have switched over in the past, you know, well, since the last podcast.
Yeah.
And they've even experienced it and seen, looking at the stool, the difference in the stool, right?
It's digestible.
That's the one thing. Like, your dog could behave exactly the same way, but if the stool is showing you something different, right?
Well, people can't see this. I'm holding up three fingers on each hand. And what you get with our food is no beef, no milk, no wheat, grain inclusive, no copper. What the client gets is something that's palatable, digestible, and good stool quality. Mm-hmm. So the client gets what they want. I get what I want because I'm not interested in trying to find more copper storage dogs. I mean, I just find zero more.
But we're going to find the root and fix that root cause.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what I've heard in this relatively small sample size for a relatively short amount of time was the initial observations where the stool is different, right? So even if their dog wasn't necessarily didn't have a huge problem with their previous food, and maybe their intent even was just, hey, let's support a small business that's local, right? And we know where it's coming from. We know the people who are producing it. Like even if that was their intent, they saw differences on the back end.
And we even have the 3-bag challenge, which is kind of a promotional thing that we do for our clients, that you put the dog on the food for 3 bags. And this is the experience that you should have by the first bag. This is what you should see by the second bag. And then we have a promotion. If you don't see a full change in your dog by the 3rd bag, the last bag is free.
Okay, oh, cool.
And
what are the changes?
So within 30 days, the gastrointestinal issues should clear up.
Adverse food reactions would clear up in 3 to 4 weeks. The food allergy thing would clear up in about 6 to 7 weeks, okay? That'd be the ear thing. So when you have ear problems, that's a food allergy. Okay. When you vomit bile, that's an adverse food reaction. So you get a few dogs that vomit bile like at 5 o'clock in the morning or something like that, or even have lots of mucus in their stools or flecks of blood in their stools. So you get on a food, and this is one of our other things is it's nice if your dog likes our food, but it's one hell of a lot better if our food likes your dog. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing.
Right.
Does our food
that's on the
like,
side of the trailer.
Yeah. Does our food like your dog? Does our food like your dog? And then when they find out that the food likes the dog, that's like, that's what they want to feed. You know, if you got really bad gas, every time you ate a coconut, I'd be sorry to sit here and see a great big thing of Mounds bars here, you know. We got to get out of here. Molly. We can't stick around. This is about to come unloose on us. Yeah. And so you don't eat things that don't like you.
Right.
You know
right.
that. You know that.
Even if you like it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's the thing. A lot of dogs, especially, you get some of these food-driven dogs. I mean, labs are good examples, right? Like, they'll eat anything in front of them. They don't act like they love it, right? And they probably do. But
it doesn't like them.
No.
It doesn't like them. So the clients have to, you know, and, you know, I tell clients even that. Like, if I was dealing with Molly's dog and I was doing something, I'd say, well, guess what? This is a Molly problem. I'll help you with your Molly problem. But we have to figure this out together. And that's what I've always said is that, This is not my problem. It's my problem while you're in here, and I'll try to help you with your problem. But we have to do that together. You and I and the dog, or you and I and the cat, or whatever I'm looking at. So it's a 3-tiered thing. But the client has to have a big part in that.
Mm-hmm. So you've with the brand shift, you've shifted some of your strategies. Or I'd say like you probably, I'm sure, understand your customer base a lot better. That's just naturally, right? Like,
right.
As you go through the business. So it looks to me like you're doing a lot more of these trade shows, getting on the road more. Like that's your push is getting out in front of people and telling your story, you know, which is hard to do just through print material or just a website, right? Like ultimately, it's like
it
people have
to
hear it. Yeah.
When it comes from somebody.
Yeah. And you can get into the nuances of what that person's dealing with, right? And so I'm sure that's part of your strategy. What type of shows are you going to, and what are those purpose? I'm sure they're purposeful, you know, as a shift.
Yeah, you know, so before we targeted kind of mostly in the hunting community, and now we're just, I mean, overarching any type of show. Like this weekend, I'm going to the Overland Expo. So it's people that get the... Kai, what did you call them? Forerunner?
Yeah,
where they deck out their Forerunners and they do the kind of living on the road camping sort
there's
of deal.
Well, there's Harley guys and there's guys who ride Harleys.
You're right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they've got
that's a different breed. What's
it called? The
it's adventure travel
fast.
Enthusiasts.
Yeah, fast camper. Something fast. It like all these like Jeep topper, mm-hmm. camp, you know, tents, and mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, I've yeah. seen it all over. I mean, it's gotten big on social media too, and I think it's really pushing.
Yeah,
so it's a really good market to be in.
But I talked to the guy that puts on the event, and he's like, "Oh, there's more dogs here sometimes than humans."
No so, way.
He said, "Yeah." So I'm hoping that that's going to be a good show for us. We went to Yappy Hour in Detroit, which was Yappy Hour. They put it on at a Detroit mansion, I think. Where was it?
They put it on at, it was on Oakland University in
something Manor.
Yeah.
And it's just a dinner and hors d'oeuvres with your dog.
Oh, wow.
Which really? Was fun. Yeah.
Are you familiar with Michigan State's campus at all? Have you ever been?
Hello, yeah.
Okay. Do you know where Wilson Hall is?
No.
Okay, well, Wilson Hall's right there. A lot of the athletes and stuff stay in Wilson Hall. And Wilson Hall was named after John and Matilda Wilson. And John Wilson donated the land for Oakland University down okay. in – yeah, so you're asking why were they sponsoring a dorm up at Michigan State? Well, Oakland was a feeder school for Michigan State at one time. Okay. That's what it was built to be. But Matilda Wilson, she has an interesting story. She was married to one of the Dodge boys. And and the Dodge boys both died in the pandemic of 1919. So they got sold off to Chrysler. But but she went and married another rich guy, and that was the John Wilson guy. And that's the – we were in their home. It was right on this
– It was beautiful.
I'm looking at a picture right now. It's a lab that's up on this table full of appetizers just mowing down, like eating right off the table. So I'm assuming you got a lot of those people too that are probably like – their dogs have a plate right next to them at the dinner table.
There were a lot of Mercedes-Benzes and all that sort of stuff there. So, I mean, we had a good time and we got a chance to talk to people. And, I mean, that's the big thing. I come in and do your podcast with you, and I know what you thought the first time. Let's figure out if this guy knows what he's talking about or not.
I knew you did.
But you get the idea. I mean, you have to kind of get a taste for does he know something or does he know something or is he – Does it sound like he's making stuff up? I try not to ever make stuff up. If I don't know about it, I try not to talk about it.
Yeah.
If I don't know about it, I'll usually go try to learn about it, and I'll talk about it some other time. And then I'll actually call that information mine because I've learned about it. But I think that's the big thing. You have a chance to share information with these people at these shows and everything. And they trust you.
You're building the connection with the community, with their dogs. Right. It's their hobby, you know, with that overland. I mean, it's not their day-to-day job, but it's something that they're so passionate about. They're going to an event. And so if they're bringing their dogs with them and you can interact with them on that level, you're going to have such a big impact on them.
And there's a commonality. I mean, everybody's willing to talk about their pets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And almost everybody has.
Yeah, look, do you want to see how many pictures do you see?
Oh, so many.
I mean,
I love
it. You're in an industry that is a shared passion amongst almost every American, right? Which is not something I experience, right? Hunting is not a shared passion. That's a commonality between people. But I do have a commonality with the people that were at the Yappy Hour, right?
Dogs.
Right. We could sit there and we could talk about our dogs, right? For, and have a passion
for 3 or 4 hours. You talk about everybody, and everybody brought their dog, There were a lot of dogs there, you've been in our office before. I think the thing that I really enjoy the most is every once in a while I have somebody that's a vice president at Kellogg's in there or something like that, and they're sitting there with somebody who's. Don't take this wrong, but...
No, I know. I've been in there.
Economically challenged, and they're sitting there talking about their dogs and stuff, they wouldn't probably give each other the time of day except for they each have a dog.
Right.
Yeah. Why'd you name your dog then?
Willing to invest the equal amount, right? It's like they both are investing into that dog equally, even though they come from different socioeconomic backgrounds.
And the one person gets called in to go in the room and he turns around the other guy and says, "Hey, it was really nice chatting with you today. Mm-hmm. Good luck with your dog today. Blah, blah, blah. You know, so it gives them a sense of commonality. And really, even if you have a convicted felon in there, they seem to be pretty nice when they got their dog. You know what I mean? So I never looked to see what they got convicted of. I just see the ankle bracelet. Anyway, I'm just kidding you guys, okay? Don't take this too seriously.
That was a joke.
Yeah, okay, very good. Yeah. This is called polite laughter, Molly. These guys are full of polite laughter. No. But anyway. So
you're trying to branch out into some of these other areas because you've got that understanding now.
Yes.
You're
Yes.
Everybody deserves to have a dog that's eating right.
That's eating safe dog food. That's our URL, safedogfood.com. That's what we sell.
Old URL.
But we're still using it.
Yeah, we can still, it's still directly
Voyager dog
website.
Food.
You know, sometimes people will have a hard time remembering it, but they'll remember Safe Dog Food easier sometimes than they'll remember Voyager Dog
Food Co. It feeds you the same website.
Yeah. It does. It goes right there. And so I think that's the thing. A lot of people, that's a big deal with them. They want something that's safe. They want something that's safe. And they're frustrated because when you go to these shows, well, we fed this, then we fed that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even like the Fresh Pet ads, they kind of make me crazy. Well, our dog quit eating his food, and so we got him Fresh Pet. You know, it's like, it's like me not wanting to eat goulash, but I'll eat a carrot cake.
Again,
I mean,
that's not exactly. Like it doesn't prove that it's good for your dog.
No, that's right.
Yeah, we get back to that.
Sure.
It's great if your dog loves our food, but if food likes your dog, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
So you've been... Sounds like you're going to Overlander, right?
Yep.
Like that one's
and
coming
then
up.
And the week after Texas for 3 weeks.
What's the Texas?
Poptopia.
That's 3 weeks long.
So it's actually every
Saturday.
It's every Saturday. Okay. But during the week, I'm going to go to dog bars and park out front.
Dog bars.
Wow.
Or so free. What
is it? Are these like bars that like...
Yeah, it's like
cater to the dogs, or is it just like bars that the dogs can come to?
They're like huge.
They're probably outdoor things that you can go sit and drink with your dogs.
Oh, it's like a bar that's attached to a dog park, so you can go and drink.
Oh, no way.
And
there's
order
a ton of
food.
A bunch of them in
there's
Texas.
There's a ton of them in Texas. Yeah. So that's so where I'll be for.
Oh, they
weeks.
Move them around. Like yep. Houston, San Antonio, Austin.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, I go up to the East Coast Waterfowl Festival.
Okay.
Oh, Maryland?
In Maryland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easton, Maryland.
Is it just you that's going on all these? Crazy. That's it was brand new, right?
Yeah, it was brand
new.
Yeah, I think 20, it's got like 20,000 miles on it now.
It has 20,000. Oh, my word.
I know.
It's
Don't
crazy.
Start that. We need a new truck.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might as well start thinking about that with the jet setting. So it's, I can see in my head, I can see like that different clientele as opposed to the hunting.
It's market. Like we talked about before when we first walked in what were they called? Kai, you knew double income.
Dinks.
Dinks.
Dual income, no kids.
And then I heard
Dink Wad
recently, double income, no kids with dogs.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That makes.
Yeah.
With a dog.
Yeah. And
with a dog. Yeah. At Wads.
There's something about like you have more time, you have more income.
I've seen that a lot more recently.
Towards your not. I mean, this is my whole thing. Is I'm not that, but it was a parallel move cost wise to go from what I was feeding our dogs to Voyager,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not even like you don't need to get into these people that have higher income to buy it. You just need the people that care about what they're feeding their dog.
Right.
Right. Like that's pretty much it. And that's people across the board. Now hunters can kind of be utilitarian, like we talked about a little bit more than maybe your yappy hour people. Right.
Yeah.
Like they may be more like,
they were loved.
What's going to be the best.
They
farmer's
were
dog,
farmer's
fresh pet
dog,
people.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And raw and that sort of, raw, you just can't, the other two diets are balanced, complete and balanced, but raw is not complete and balanced. So if you're going to feed if you're going to have a homemade dog food, and anybody listens to this, if you're feeding homemade stuff, you got to call a place called Balance It out in California. And they have this, it's run by a veterinarian, and they give you like little packets of vitamin minerals to put in your food.
My in-law's neighbor, this is a couple of years ago, put up this like hog fencing around his house, like in his yard. And I was like, what's he doing? And they're like, well, he's raising sheep. And I was like, why is he raising sheep? Like what's the
feeding
lamb
it
deal?
To his dog?
Yeah, so I'm like he's butchering, like he's raising the sheep, butchering them,
or his
to
dog.
Feed his dog. I'm like that is
commitment.
Yeah, that is like whole nother level.
Well, so we were gonna make a lamb diet at one time and a lamb and rice diet, and so we got the lamb in, and the lamb comes from overseas from. New Zealand, maybe?
New Zealand, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
makes sense.
They didn't have enough copper in it for us to make the 7.3 number. We thought it'd be loaded with copper. It didn't have hardly anything.
Because they're like grass-fed.
Yeah, they're grass-fed out there. So it wasn't going to work for us because we really don't have enough sheep in the United States to sustain. So almost all the lamb and rice diets are, that lamb is imported.
Yeah.
Yeah, so lamb meal, it's imported.
Obviously, chicken feed, they're not putting. copper and chicken feet.
Yeah, they put copper and chicken feet, but a chicken doesn't live long enough to
eat. Oh, I got you.
So they don't live long enough to store it. Yep. So they're dead at 6 weeks or whatever. Okay. I hate to say dead, but that's what they...
Oh, they're dead.
Harvested.
No, they're dead. No, it's pretty cut and dry.
Nobody's going to play taps here, are they? No.
No.
But anyway, I think that's... So that's what we figured out. And we figured you could do turkey, but turkeys live longer. So they'd actually have more... They'd have more copper stored in there. You got to figure out from, and that's what we do. We take all these samples of food and then we measure the copper in it. Then we back into the number we need to make with the diet without adding any copper.
Right.
And that's what sometimes people are like, you're going to make a puppy food? Yeah, we could make a puppy food, but we'd have to add copper in there.
Because the number's higher.
Yeah, so you got to have 12.5 parts per me. It's almost double what the other one is. And so we'd have to add copper sulfate in there. And I'm just not wired to add copper and stuff. And so I'm like, you know, feed them whatever you want to feed them. And then when they get to be 6 months of age, I'm your boy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we do. And you wouldn't have any problems with doing that, I don't think.
I mean, you don't even switching over from a previous, I mean, there's not like.
So if you had a puppy, I'd feed him the performance diet. It's got enough calcium and phosphorus in it.
Can start them like 6 months or.
Yeah, sure.
Certainly before your first hunting season, they're already on the.
Well, and that's what we ought to talk about this. I see this all the time. I see hunting dogs that get really fat when they're not doing anything because they leave them on a performance diet. Well, you don't need to leave them on a performance diet.
Yeah, that's my thing is like right now, I got to run them on a performance diet. Like with your subscription, it's very easy to just
switch
that to, okay, now we're in the off season. I'm going to switch the dog to
something that's not quite as hot.
Yeah. How often do you buy it?
I'm buying it once a month.
Once a month?
Okay. Yeah. I think I've calculated.
Have you gotten the new packaging and everything?
I think you guys just shipped like yesterday.
Oh, okay. You're going to get the newspaper?
The first one was, it looked like, you put the sticker on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it wasn't the Scoop brand on
there. We get new bags next week.
Okay.
But for the chicken, at least, we have to run the Pollock and the performance
We get new bags. In 30 days, we'll have new bags for almost everything we sell.
Well, and that's part of your guys' rebranding, right? Is like the bags look really cool.
Yeah. Yep.
So I think you're going to have people that just like, instead of in the day where you'd push your bag back into like the storage room, you know, and keep it out of the way, people are going to be like setting that out front.
I know. People say that all the time. They're like, I don't want to throw away the bag.
Yeah.
Because there's art on it. Yeah. And so I don't understand that whole part of it because I'm just, it's different for me the way I look at stuff. And so it's just different for me, but I have to understand that, you know, it's like, I don't wear a seersucker doctor's coat, but I'm sure there's somebody that does, you know, I mean, it's just,
whatever. I'm kind of the same way. Like I am just like, it's a bag.
Yeah.
But I understand that it's kind of like plating food, right?
Yeah.
At a restaurant.
It's presentations, like, everything.
It means a lot.
Is it styrofoam?
Right? Yeah.
Or is it like, fine china?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Even if it's
there's just a intrinsic thing that you can't block out of your head.
Yeah, if there's fried chicken in both, but it's like, what's going to look more appealing? Yeah.
That's what we do, though. We walk in, a restaurant, you get the menu. As soon as you read the menu, you look around to see what your neighbors are eating. Mm-hmm. And that looks good. What did she get right there?
Right.
Yeah.
And then
it's a visual thing.
Yeah, it's a visual thing. And then you say, well, I don't know how to taste, but that sure looks good. I think I'll order that. What is that on this menu?
I mean, no one can deny if you just had the text Voyager dog food on the bag, and it was just a white bag.
Yes.
And then you had it sitting right next to the same exact thing with the branding you have. 90% of the people, and it's the same price, 90% of the people are going to buy.
Grab that bag.
Yeah, easily. Probably more than that. 99%. So it's...
Did I ever tell you about how the bag was created?
No.
It was like a ton of pictures collaged into like a Photoshop file. Like everything is individually photographed. Okay. The trees, the birds,
the dogs,
the canoe, everything. And it was collaged together in Photoshop, and then it was sent to Ryan Kirby, an artist down in, I think it's North Carolina or South Carolina.
Down by our chicken coop, we've got a big, like, different breeds of chicken.
Oh, I love it.
Sign that Ryan Kirby
that he did.
Yeah.
He's an amazing artist. Yeah. But he painted it, and then that's what we used for the
really?
Bag art.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the original painting then?
It's actually getting framed right now.
Oh, cool.
But it's not going to go on a chicken coop.
But if people are like, I want to save the bag, hey, give them an opportunity to buy a print.
But well, you know,
we had some prints made. Yeah. We did have some prints made. And so
we auctioned one off at Yappy Hour.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But when I went to Tomah, Wisconsin to do the bag press check. That's what all of them said there. They were like, this is by far, we've been working. I had one guy was like, I've been working here for 36 years, and this is the coolest bag I've ever seen come through the production line. That's
awesome. Because then you start looking at, okay, it's sitting next to Pro Plan.
Yeah.
Right? If it does end up going on a shelf somewhere, it's like, okay, you've got the same costs. They're sitting next to each other. And even if somebody does not know about the copper storage disease mm-hmm. and the benefits from your guys' dog, because they may not be educated there.
Right.
Then you got the bag that's able to tell some of your story and win out over.
I agree. You know, and I thought the science part, everybody see the science part, but I'm mm-hmm. trained to think as a scientist. So it's a whole different gig for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just can't see the.
Well, if you have all of it, that's perfect, right? Yes. If you had the marketing so and you had the science behind it.
Well, that's what I was telling you. They get what they want and I get what I want. So I get your dog eating a good healthy
the science
dog.
Part.
The yeah. science part. That's the part that
it fills your cup.
That's the yeah. part that fills my cup. That couldn't mm-hmm. have been said any yeah. better, but yeah. that's exactly right. And then you get what you want.
Right.
You know, you get a really cool looking brand and good stool qualities, palatable, digestible, you know. And people will tell you, yeah, it's, my friends started buying it and they'll give you good, my friends give me good, honest feedback about a lot of stuff. But anyway, they give me honest feedback about how they like the food and what they think it did for their dog and everything. And it's really gratifying. And I don't know if you can appreciate this, but we get all sorts of stuff emailed to us. You know, our dog was, we just got one the other day. Our dog was in a tough way. It was 16 years old. We put it on your food and they said, well, we want to cancel the subscription now because he was 19 last week and then we had to have him put to sleep, but he lived
19.
He lived 3 extra years. Yeah, I'm not. Not every dog's going to live 19
years. I know,
years,
but that's crazy.
But this dog was on the ropes at 16, mm-hmm. and these people kind of figured out what they were going to do on it. And we get that, and people send us the thing. You know, you changed our dog's life, and on and on and on and on and on and on. It's like, and
you have no idea who that is, but it just mm-hmm.
no
it makes you happy.
Well, sometimes I've had conversations with people, and right. and they're really when they've got this copper storage disease, so. They got one of two things. They've got copper storage disease and their dog with the proper treatment can be saved, or they have so much cirrhosis in the liver, their goose is cooked. Mm-hmm. And so I can't really sort that out on the phone, but I can, lots of times if they give me their lab work, I can kind of figure out, this isn't going to turn out well, yeah. you know, but, yeah. but they at least tried. And we've had a lot of people that called and said, you know, and that's really, I mean, that's why we do this. Because people would call and said, you made a gigantic difference in our dog's life. And sometimes for virtually years, because once you put them on the right diet, they don't get copper storage disease back. I just got a guy up here in Wayland. He brought his dog in. It had an ALT of 800 and it had copper storage disease, 1,600 parts per million. We did the biopsy, surgical biopsy, put him on D-PAN, put him on our food. He was in the other day. It's like 2.5 years later and the ALT is 31 or 35. I don't remember what it was, but it's all the way down to normal. Wow. He went to his old vet and ran into, excuse me, that person one place. And he says, yeah, we wouldn't have figured that out. It's a good thing mm-hmm. you ran into somebody that knew how to figure those out. And I didn't know how to figure those out for a long time.
Right. But it takes a very specific person with a specific amount of experience to communicate that. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, getting it in a store, nobody's going to be able to do that.
Nope.
Right? Like, no one's going to be able to do that. And so you're kind of just relying on, like, what people see with their eyes, not what they hear.
Right.
And so the bag and the brand takes over at that point, right? Like, it can kind of mm-hmm. carry some of it. And then hopefully the people learn on the way, mm-hmm. like, hey, they do a little bit of research and go, okay, this is what it is. This is the benefits. And then these are the results for my dog. Yeah.
Well, when somebody sends you that sort of an endorsement, you know, it's pretty effusive. And we hope they're living in what's the name of that place in Florida? The Villages, you know, where they got all these neighbors. Mm-hmm. And usually, yeah. you know, that just goes up and down the street.
Yeah.
Right.
And we had some lady down there in the Villages and she was ordering more bags than she should have been ordering, but she was putting them in little baggies and walking up and down the street.
Oh, no way.
Giving them to people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, and she was our salesperson. I mean, yeah. we didn't pay her to be a salesperson.
Yeah. No, it's
she
like, was our it's salesperson. Like me. I'm not a salesperson.
She wanted her. She wanted their dogs to have the same benefits that her dog had.
Yeah, right? And if you can prove to just one person, I mean, there's your brand ambassador, and you don't have to because they're so passionate about your product that you've created. It's changed their lives, their dog's lives. They're going to tell everyone.
Yep.
I mean, that's you can't beat that type of marketing.
Nope.
And if you're with what you're doing, Molly, of going. Talking to these people face to face. I mean, that's, I don't know other dog food brands that are maybe doing that, but
they all do it, yeah. But it's a different, I mean,
but you're doing it more intentional.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I feel like it's like, hey, here's us. Yeah.
I have talked to other people that, at different shows, they're like, oh, this other dog food company is over here. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, but they just kind of throw me a sample bag and a brochure.
There's
and
no benefits.
No.
So most
it's like, why? It's just food then.
So you're drinking. What are you drinking?
It's a monster. I got to stop. I need some Voyager.
But always, there's always that benefit, call to action. See, it says on there, zero sugar, benefit. Okay.
Right. And then it says may cause cancer problems. So there's my call to action.
Heart attacks are more prevalent.
It's only a benefit to your wife. Anyway,
I got life insurance.
Yeah,
we're good.
She's got life insurance. She's got life insurance. Yeah, you're a little dyslexic over here. I think she's the one that has the life insurance on you.
You got that right.
Yes, you got to get these things squared up. But that's what you do. So it's benefit, and it says taurine and that's for good heart health. That taurine, that's an amino acid. Yeah. Did you see that's on your can?
Okay. I never knew what those were.
Yeah, you should be drinking this. You should be reading this before you drink.
Well, there's a plus sign next to it, so that means it's a positive.
Yeah. Plus taurine, plus zero calories. Anyway, so that's a typical thing right there. Benefit, call to action. Benefit, call to action. You know, and there must be benefit to drinking, or you wouldn't be drinking, or at least it gives you a little more energy.
I don't know if I need that, but
you've been able to laugh through this whole thing today. So we're glad you drank that. Yes.
Right.
So what are some of the new things? The branding's changed over your Voyager dog food, and with that, are you pushing out some new stuff too in the upcoming months?
We're gonna try. We're trying to start the podcast to Vet Talk with Dr. Pete.
Well, we're also talking about we've developed our own treat, which we've been feeding our
dogs. Oh, cool.
The ABC treats.
Awesome.
So
what's the ABC treat?
Apples, bananas, and carrots. Okay. So it's got all three in the treat.
It has some oats and peanut butter.
Do you have a name for it?
Like, the ABC treats.
Is that what you're going to call it?
Yeah. We haven't gotten packaging for it yet.
Okay.
But
does it look like a canoe?
No,
I tried. Take a guess for how much it would cost to get a die made for a canoe.
$2,500.
No way.
$15,000.
Yeah.
$30,000.
Like
20. Right. Oh my. For one.
I was like, we'll take the biscuit looking treat.
Yeah, whatever existing die.
Yeah, what's the ROI on a $20,000 die?
Yeah.
Well,
none.
They're really healthy treats.
Plus, if they don't get it right on, and it looks like something else.
It looks like a little moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes zero sense.
Yeah. Well, I tried.
So, I mean, I think that's for one thing. What we're going to do is we're going to make sure they're not feeding anything's bad either. So, I mean, that's we'll have the food and the treats and water. And if you think you got to give other stuff, I mean, I'm all right with apples, bananas. In fact, I usually make a triangle: apples, bananas. Beans of green. I like green beans. You don't get the salt-free ones. It's like salt-free VA juice. It's not very good, but you get the salty ones. And then cucumbers, carrots, and cubes of ice. So that's the C, ABCs. Mm. And obviously you can't take the cucumbers and put them in sour cream because I'm not supposed to have milk and stuff. So you got to spell it out for
people. Right. Yeah, oh, I know.
It doesn't sound crazy, but... But
don't dip your carrots in ranch first and then hand them to your dog.
but that's the whole thing. I've given them six things to give beyond their dog food. And I think if you give them the six things, and they're all healthy things, for one thing.
But just as treats.
As treats,
You shouldn't need a supplement, right?
Yeah, apples have a little bit of sugar in them, and carrots have a little bit of sugar in them. The rest of the stuff doesn't have much sugar in them. Mm-hmm. So they're healthy treats. And we see an awful lot of overweight dogs. And so, you know... green beans, I mean, you can buy those big cans in Costco or Sam's Club and stuff, and they're fine. And I, listen, so here's what happens when you buy a treat. I don't know what's in the treat. I read the bag, but I don't know what's in the treat. When I open an apple, there's only apple in there. When I open a banana, there's only banana in there. When I peel a cucumber, I've never found anything but cucumber underneath there. So that's what you're getting. Yeah. And you can count on that, you know.
So what's the timeline on the treats?
Do you hopefully have well, I are, so I called the factory and helped formulate the treats, and then we're just we've had our first sample run made.
Okay.
Now we're just waiting on packaging.
Oh, cool!
I should have brought some treats. Production. I'll ship some to you guys.
Okay. Yeah, that's a cool.
You could be the official tester,
like all one stop solution for people, right?
Right.
Like, yes. I get that. Yeah.
Well, we're trying to create something that where it's going to be hard for you to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, because people might attribute they're feeding.
Yeah.
Voyager dog food, and then they're also feeding these treats, and your dog has an issue still, and you're like, it's not the food, it's the treats, but how do you get that messaging out to them?
I think the one thing we need to talk about is, you know, we talked about this a little bit before, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. You have to be off all this stuff for 5, 6, 7 weeks sometimes to see the benefit of this. So a lot of people think they can feed ice cream, but then if they don't feed it the next day, nothing will happen. Well, you've already set that.
Yeah.
It's like getting into poison ivy out here someplace. Oh, you'll be fine tomorrow. Well, no, you're not going to be fine tomorrow. You could be a mess tomorrow. Right. You'll have to go get a Depo Medrol shot or a Medrol pack or something, you know, because if I told you this summer I'm really allergic to poison ivy, I got into it 4 times. You say, well, you had a lousy summer, didn't you, bud? I'm like, I did have a lousy summer.
Did you really?
No, I didn't get into it. No, I hate the stuff. I live on this farm, and so I put Roundup and Crossbow in the same tank, and I go out. And we have a lane and everything. And the dogs would walk through it, and they'd give it to us when they get back to us.
That's the thing. It's hard.
So I went and killed it all. It took me 3 years to kill it all, but I got almost all of it killed.
Yeah. Good.
And
I hate
this. Well,
I'm
not
allergic. So
I know. You don't get ticks. You don't get mosquitoes.
I get ticks.
Okay, you don't get mosquito bites.
Yep, mosquito bites don't.
And poison ivy. It's poison like unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like a
itchy thing. I'm allergic to it. If I walk up to it, Sharon and I were walking down, my wife, we were walking down the lane one time, and there was a big... great big thing of it, and I thought, oh, how did I miss this? So we were walking, we were all sweaty and everything. So I walked over and gave it the finger, and you know what?
He literally has a personal vendetta.
I gave it the finger. I didn't have the spray, so I just gave it the finger, and I'm like, I'm going to come back and get you later. Well, it got me that day because it blew the oil off onto my. My bare legs. So you see right where my shorts were. And you could see all these little vesicles pop up like 2 or 3 days later.
Yeah.
He got you.
Yeah. I got even though I went back and cut it off instead of just spraying it.
So. Do you remember when I was in high school and we drove by the golf course when you picked me up from school and there was poison ivy and he made me come back with him to kill the poison ivy off the entrance of the golf course?
No, he did it the night after the golf course. Because I think they thought that was
pretty. Why is Green 18 dead now?
And this place was a nice golf course, but it had, and even the golfers that played there, they told me the same thing, is that if you hit a ball in the woods, just go get another ball.
Don't go
looking for that thing because you'll get the...
Oh, I've been around a few courses this year. It's bad. I mean, you get to the edge and it's just littered in poison ivy.
Yeah. That was a good year for poison ivy for sure this year.
Yep. And I showed one of my friends how to kill it. And what did he do? He went and killed everything on his property.
What, the poison ivy?
No, he killed the poison ivy. He killed the poison. I showed him how to identify it because we were driving down the toll road one day. And I said, see all this stuff sticking up in the air? He said, that's poison ivy. Really? Are you sure? We're a long ways away from it. I'm sure. I know what poison ivy looks like. And I know how it grows. It'll grow up a tree and kill the tree.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what. I went over and decorated my parents' headstone at the cemetery, and they had a bunch of it over there. So I came back and killed that crap too. And so
it's like the anti Johnny Appleseed.
Just
killing stuff.
Yep. I'm like a serial killer.
Yeah, Dr.
Ivy. Yes,
he's got Librella and one coat pocket, and just
yep.
So, last thing I want to touch on podcast. Are you going to try and kick that off soon, or is that?
We did one episode.
Oh, did you?
Oh, you did?
I am learning from you guys. Okay. This is
awesome.
Corey and Kai are my podcast.
Yeah, and this would be fun because what we're going to do is try to talk about a couple of different things every time we do it and kind of get into depth a little bit. So you get in depth. Like, I thought maybe one thing we'd do is talk about you're taking your dog to the veterinary office, and how do you approach that?
Do's and don'ts.
You make notes of what you want to talk about. You know, so you got the appointment. Today's – Tuesday. You got your appointment on Friday. So make some notes and check with your family. In fact, if you want to bring your wife, sometimes that's better because lots of times you'll hear everything I say when the two of you are in the room. So what you didn't hear, she heard, and what she didn't hear, you heard. And so that's one of the things. And make sure you ask all the questions, because I get this stuff every once in a while. I'm taking a history, and we're in this thing 11 or 12 minutes. And finally, on the 13th minute, they say, oh, yeah, by the way, this. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's it.
That should have been the first thing we talked about. No, I didn't know that. And I said, try to figure out what the important things are. Go ahead.
So it's going to be like a Q&A. Like, are you going to be taking questions, or are you going to formulate the questions yourself and then be like, hey, we're going to come in with this topic this week?
You can go on our Instagram page and submit the questions.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
And what's the frequency? Like,
we're
going
to try to
yet?
Do twice a month.
Twice a month?
Try. Okay. So it's once I figure out.
That's a good frequency.
Yeah.
Get your questions in, and we'll cover them. Yeah. And that you'll get, that's something I've wanted to do more too, is like the listener interactions, which I think you're going to do awesome at that.
Well, we do. We're probably going to. When I did my radio show, I'd play a tune on the radio show, because at the radio station, they had the rights to play that stuff. So I'd play a tune. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is, like if they did Leonard Skinner, I'm like, well, the Ed King was in Leonard Skinner, and he used to be in the Strawberry Alarm Clock. They did Incense and Peppermint. So we talked.
So you intermix some of the pop culture stuff.
Yeah, tell a little story about it. And then usually when I did the show, when it was an hour show, I would play a piece at the beginning, and I'd play another song.
And the outro.
Outro. That's right. So if it was Sir Douglas Quintet, they had a couple of good songs. And so you play the first one, tell the story about what they did. And most of those guys had really rather fractured lives, so that was a good story, involved in the whole thing. Yeah. And this is why people are playing in their Memorial Golf tournaments now and not, seeing them on stage, because they did themselves in by the time they were 16.
Can't keep that lifestyle.
You can't keep that lifestyle. Some of them did. But Leonard Skinner, I think every single one's deceased now. I think the last guy just died this year. Yeah. But, I mean, he had the airplane crash. That didn't do him any good.
Right.
But then the drugs and alcohol and all that sort of stuff really wrecked them the rest of the way. And, it's too bad, but they were really good, and they had a lot of they had passion for what they were doing. And, in fact, I don't know if you ever heard the story about Leonard Skinner. I guess they opened for The Who one time, and so you go from town to town to town, and The Who gets to listen to them do their opening act. And they were like, it was like you were lip-syncing it, because it was exactly the same way every single time. Okay. Those guys got up every morning at 8 o'clock and practiced until 5 o'clock, and then they went out and raised hell after that. But so they did it like we do our job. You go in and say, they handle it like a job. And they said they were so well rehearsed, and they asked them why you were so well rehearsed, because we're scared to death of Van Zandt. He's nuts. The guy.
Yeah.
And apparently he was nuts. And so you did it exactly the same way. There was a right way to do it, one way to do it, the right way. And that's what The Who said. We play all sorts of different stuff. I mean, we change it up every time. Sometimes even change it.
They like to have fun with it.
Yeah, they like to have fun.
While they're doing it.
Yeah. But boy, Leonard Skinner, they were death on. I mean, it had to be exactly the way he wanted it. And he made life unpleasant for some of those guys. And some of those guys quit. Then they came back and they quit. Most of them got enough divorces. They need to come back and earn enough money to pay for their stuff. And, it's funny, but it isn't.
I know. Yeah.
So you've got the new things coming down the pipeline: the Vet Talk podcast, and just pay attention to the social media pages to figure out when that's coming online or consistently online, and then submit questions. And then you got the treats coming. New bags are coming. New bags for the dog food are coming in the next month or two.
And we might even have a new food coming out in the next year or so. So we're working on that right now. Something we think people need.
And I kind of like, I'll personally vouch for the subscription, because that's so easy. Because there's so many times you get down on dog food and you're like, oh, shoot. We're in town. We didn't get dog food, right? We need dog food. And it's just a pain in the butt. Subscription is like, I just got an email like, hey, it's shipping out, and you're, I'm still trying to figure out like exactly what frequency I need it at, but dogs love it, and I really like that program alone. Like that, going to that is probably one of the biggest benefits for our family and our dogs. Yes. It's like that consistency.
Well, and of course, we only sell it through our store, but some of the other dog foods will be made in July, and then they go to a warehouse, and then in October or November, they come out of the warehouse, and then they go into, let's say, one of the corporate warehouses. Then they go from that corporate environment 3 or 4 months later to a store, and then they put it on the shelf in the store. It may be a year old, maybe 9, 10, 12, 13 months old by the time it actually makes it to the store.
Yeah.
Our stuff should actually, you know, I can tell you that our warehouse smelled really dog foodish when we first opened, you know, when we first got its stuff in there, but we're ordering it so frequently now that it smells like dog food all day long. You know, so I mean, it's still that, you know, you still have that.
Right.
You know, they're like, they cooked it there. Well, we didn't cook it there, but it smells like
pretty
dog
close.
Food. Yeah, pretty close there. And so we're real happy of, you know, we really have a good team, Molly and Ben, you know, and they're
big team.
Yeah. Well, you know,
that's ultimately what it boils down to is, can someone make a phone call to your business and talk to the people that know what's going on?
Yes. You will get Ben every time.
Yep. Yeah. And it's like, there's a lot of these, I wouldn't say a lot of these companies, but here in Southwest Michigan, it's like we're connected with quite a few of the people that have that same ideology. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you need
to
be able to make a call to a person that actually knows what's going on, is directly involved in the business, right? And has some skin in the game, you know, for making sure the customer gets treated well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get this stuff all the time where Ben will send me a text that says, call Glenda in Arizona. And so I call Glenda in Arizona, make sure it's not 6 o'clock in the morning there when I call her, but I call her and we had a nice conversation about her dog. She had a dog who's actually being treated for copper storage, and it was being given D-penicillamine, which is exactly the right drug to do it, except they were using the dosage that's in the book. We think the dosage is too high. In fact, I know it's too high because I get to talk to all these people, but it is what's in the formulary. So when you go look at your formulary, it says, well, 10 to 15 milligrams per kilogram. Should be 7. And they do a lot better. They don't get sick, because the medication makes them sick. But if you drop that dose, I think it still works very, very well. And the dog has a good attitude about their, because when you get too much D-pen on board, they don't want to eat their food. And then you have to use appetite stimulants or steroids or things like that.
Yeah, and it's just, if you think about it, can you make a phone call to another dog? And I'm not trashing other dog foods, because they all start somewhere, right? Like, and this is something that my heart's kind of been in too, is like every company started with probably a similar story, right? Mm-hmm. Like they started with like one person or a couple people saying like, hey, this is what's missing, right? And generally it's people starting with like, I want to help, you know, and then it evolves to a point where it's so big that it loses focus on what the mission and vision.
Character.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's like, I don't hold that against those other companies, you know, the big companies and stuff. That's just like the natural progression. But it's not something you can get from other dog food companies. You're not going to be able to make a phone call and be able to get that intricate, informed advice.
And nobody's going to read from a script. And I think that's the thing that turns me off the most, is that when these companies get successful, then they have a menu or a recipe that you're supposed to use when somebody asks this question.
Yeah, you can't have that.
If I'm going to get an answer.
You already figured that out.
Oh, I figured that out a long time ago.
If I'm going to get an answer that I can just get from Google, then why wouldn't I just get it from Google? It's like if people call me and they're asking about decoys, I'm like, where are you hunting at? What type of hunting are you doing? Right? Like, where are you going? How much weight do you have in the boat? All those things are questions that I ask, and Google's, it's real hard to get those answers from Google. Give them answers they can't get from Google, right? So I think that's what you guys are able to do, and that's going to set you apart too.
Well, I never hear about Dr. Google when I'm at work because, I think people have figured out that we know more than Dr. Google knows, and so why waste your time?
Exactly.
If you got a 20 or 30 minute appointment, why talk about Dr. Google?
Yeah, right. Well, I heard this on,
usually you're just going to create more anxiety and in yourself if you try to use Dr. Google.
I think that's kind of fun because people come in and they'll say,
hey, I know what's wrong with this dog.
They'll say, here's what we think. It's either this or this. And I said, well, you know, it's wrong. You know, it could be, but I'm not going to let you talk me into doing anything but my job. And I'll do my job. And when we collect enough data, I'll tell you what this is. Probably.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, and I think they like that approach. They won't talk me into ordering something, you know, you know, you want to go in a restaurant and order something, the guy says you ought to order because it's this is a third
the
day
special
a, third yeah. day in a row right, serving yeah. it. Yeah, it's no. You want to know. And I can right. always tell when somebody's being genuine
right.
And honest about a recommendation and that sort of thing. And so and listen, veterinarians, we're all alike. We're not right all the time, but the longer we do this, the more right we become. Mm-hmm. And unless we have mental difficulties, you know, as you get older and mm-hmm. forgetful and stuff, but as long as you stay sharp, man, you know, when I first started, I could only get half the true and false questions right, and not even half sometimes.
Right.
But you get the idea. The longer you do it,
right.
the easier it gets. The easier it gets. It never gets easy. It gets easier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Never becomes mm-hmm. easy.
Yeah, you don't want it to become easy. That means you're not.
And it's not fun.
If somebody says if you know all the answers, if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to be in a different room. You know,
exactly.
Because there's always people that could. You know, I learn something from somebody all the time, mm-hmm. and I think that's the biggest thing. You got to make sure you can't be somebody who does, well, we've always done it this way, or this is the way we've always done it, you know.
Well, that's one of the main drivers for the podcast, for us having the podcast. Yeah. It's like, hey, can we get people on here that have more knowledge in these areas? Like, we can glean information, just become more knowledgeable as part of it.
I've learned so much just from the two podcasts with you.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, just dog health.
Yeah, we had like two
thermometers thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would have never thought to ask that question to begin with.
So you learned it the easy way. I learned it the hard way. Right. So you just got to remember that if it was painful for me, and anytime there's pain involved, so we talk about that every once in a while. You can either be not very smart, but you could be smart or you could be brilliant. And if you're smart, you learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're brilliant, you watch other people screw up and learn mm-hmm. from what they did.
Right.
But you didn't have the pain associated with it. So if you can believe somebody's being honest with you, learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
You don't need to make it yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, I think, that's good, you know, man. We
did
went
you
through.
Have more questions?
I do, but we're at our 2 hours.
2 hours okay. already.
Yeah. It might need to be like a yearly thing.
Yeah, you let me get too far afield with some of this stuff.
I know, but I think we might need to make it like an annual thing.
Yeah.
And then just do like a Q&A.
I'd love that.
Yeah, or I could do take, a Q&A I could, for...
I could take Valium before I came, and then that would probably be, you know, something that would put me to sleep. And so that you get these short, succinct answers.
I want the in-depth, because you can get the short, succinct answers from Google.
Yeah,
right? Like, you don't know the background. So I like that. I like it.
That's the purpose why we do it in person, too. Yep.
Like, I think we need it. This one was kind of like we wanted to pull you guys back in because we wanted to... to touch base with the new branding coming out, and
we're doing all the right things for all the right reasons. That's and if I had to succinctly tell you what we're doing all the right things for all the right reasons, and we're not letting anybody, we're not letting profit be a motive, we're not letting politics be a motive,
and that's when you know someone's sincere and actually going to be successful with it.
Yeah,
too. I mean, you don't have profitability. I mean. To a point.
Oh, I know, but I lay in bed awake at night every once in a while trying to figure out how to make it a little better, it a little better.
Yeah. I think what gets you up in the morning, too, is calling that lady in Arizona.
Yes.
You know, that's more fulfilling for you than, you know, obviously you want to make a sale because you can impact someone, but it's not the money that you made from that sale.
Yeah.
It's your impacting the people's lives and the dog's lives.
You know the really fun part is? I call this Glenda from Arizona. I don't think she's listening to this podcast, but anyway.
She might. We might just knock off another state.
I'll look at
Arizona.
I'll look at Arizona. Anyway, Arizona.
She says, and when they get done, they're like, so you're the veterinarian. Really? I can't believe a veterinarian called me and talked to me about this.
Yeah.
So you're the veterinarian. And then she wants me to repeat my name again. I know why. So she can Google me.
Yeah, make sure.
And
that's the thing that gets lost on small business too, is like when it's kind of this grassroots, like you guys are the ones who came up with it. You're the ones, you know, manufacturing, you're warehousing it. You're doing all the customer. People don't understand. A lot of times people see a brand and they're like, wow, this is cool. This is good. It must be 100 people behind the scenes.
No, right? It's like, it's what,
and
three?
It's like,
three.
Yeah, it'd be the same thing. People call me and they're like, oh, you're actually carving? I'm like, yeah. Like, this is not like some operation where we've got, you know, a dozen people back.
Right.
In the, like, if you can't, you guys have been here, right? Like, this is just me in my shop, just
It's very comfortable. You know? Very
yeah.
comfortable.
Yeah, it's like I don't. You don't need. You realize like you're not. You're growing at the rate you need to grow, and you're not going to be bigger than you need to be because right. that's just going to cost the customer.
Right.
Ultimately.
Well, right? But if you grow it, you grow it, and we did this with the veterinary clinic. I mean, I started out with some old lady and me mm-hmm. one time in the afternoon on a September back in 75. We opened the place and actually closed the place when we had lunch, but then it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
And then you have to reinvent it as you do it. Mm-hmm. As you're doing that stuff, you have to reinvent it.
Right.
Because now the communications is a difficult problem. And so you have to have more meetings, and you have to make sure that you have to have somebody that's a leader in your group. And so as you start to get in it, there's no real reason for it. I mean, I think this thing, if it got to 50 people, I guarantee you I'd still call Glenda. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I'd make that promise right now.
I've thought about that too. It's like, at what point would it get to, like, where's the point of comfort? Like, in my point of comfort's the same way. If I'm not able to call somebody who has a question or then it's too big.
So let me tell you a little story. See that little finger right there? That one right there? This one?
This one.
Pinky finger?
Yeah.
My pinky finger. Okay. I broke that in eighth grade, and I'm going to tell you who fixed it for me, Homer Stryker. And Stryker already existed as a company at that point in time. And he was back at Borges, fixing some crybaby's finger. And it hurt when he did it. He put a pencil in there, and he straightened it all out, and then he put a splint on it. And he told me I had to wear the splint for 3 weeks. You know how my hand smelled after that?
You couldn't stop smelling it, though, I bet.
I stayed away from all the other eighth grade women. I'll tell you that right now, because I knew that was going to taint me for life if I smelled like that. Sorry. Anyway, but he went right back to work. He'd invent something, go right back to work. Invent something, go right back to work. What he wanted to be is a doctor who invented stuff. And he invents stuff and then let somebody else run with it.
Right.
Some guy named Brown, I think, got that whole company up and where it's going. Homer was born in Athens. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Homer Stryker.
Yeah. Mm.
And
you're just a wealth of knowledge. Yeah. Well, I tell you what.
No wonder you got your own podcast.
He tried to get in med school at University of Michigan, couldn't get in because he didn't know a foreign language. He'd already been overseas in the war. So he had to learn a foreign language. He got back in school. And he graduated, and then he did all the stuff. He made the Stryker saw and the beds and all that stuff. But I think that was pretty cool with him. I mean, there he was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon fixing my finger. And he was probably in his mid-60s when he did it, because I was a little disappointed when some old man came out to fix my finger. But come to find out, he was a famous old man. I just didn't know he was famous. I don't think I knew for a long time, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? But
that's cool.
I've had a bunch of fingers that other people didn't fix, but
you can see you can still play basketball. We got to see that bronze medal.
Just barely. Yeah, we'll look at that forward.
You
got to
go take a photo.
Yeah.
You got to have that on.
Well, thanks for having Molly and I here. We had a good time today.
It's always a pleasure. I think
we enjoy it.
You're a wealth of, I think we're just barely scratching the surface on the wealth of information. So I like to.
Well,
like
we've gone from Leonard Skinner to Stryker.
Yep.
We've done it.
I don't think I embellished anything either today. I mean,
no.
When I was young,
wouldn't know.
I used to embellish, and every once in a while I lied. But now I don't lie or embellish either one. I just tell the story the way it is.
And that's good.
That's the way I should do it.
So VoyagerDogFoodCo.com or SafeDogFood.com.
SafeDogFood.com, yep.
Social media, same thing.
VoyagerDogFoodCo.
Yep. And we'll keep doing the right stuff, and I'm not going to go back to the office and try to figure out how to make something cheaper. I'll just keep making it the way we've been making it.
Love it.
So it won't change.
Yeah.
I may change, but the dog food won't change.
For podcast updates, that's going to be through social, through Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
It's always good.
Until next time.
All right. All right.